So why are you recording?
What?
Because this is when all the funny things happen, whenever no one's actually really talking about anything.
No, it isn't.
Good evening.
Well, we never say anything funny.
Like, fucking 80% of all the openers for all the podcasts is just stuff that actually happened before the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we call it a cold open. It's like a tradition in showmaking.
It's not like a funny excerpt that got cut. It's stuff that happened.
Podcast is just stuff that happened.
It is in chronological order.
And that's going to be the name right there.
Stuff that happened.
Stuff that happened. That's a good one, actually.
Okay. No, it isn't.
So
it never is, but
Barbarians took my baby!
I found a bell, Catsman.
Oh, wow.
Oh my god.
I love that.
No.
I love that.
Is that like a bicycle bell or something?
No, it's seriously like a hotel bell with a button on the top.
Oh, shit, button bells. I used to have one of those.
What?
Coming at you live from Salzburg, Austria, it's Gentlemen Discussing Video, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. I'm Hapman, I'm here with Catsman.
Exotic.
Hasmat, who I think has gone to take a shower.
Not yet, but hi.
Juju.
Yo.
My boy.
Hello.
Moogle Pies.
I am not in Austria.
Reinbach.
I'm from Austria.
Taco Man.
I'm from Canada.
And Vashila.
I'm not from Austria either.
Damn it. But the studio's in Austria. That's what it's about, man. We're a globetrotting podcast.
I heard that if you die in Canada, you die in real life.
That's actually not true. We're polite and we just give you another chance.
Oh, that's right. Lovely.
We just kind of pick you up and dust you off and we're like, okay.
Do I get an apology as well?
Yep. Sorry that you died.
Okay. So we have a few things on the table today. We got the comment section, top video picks, a new segment that Catsman and I thought of yesterday.
It's amazing.
We have the What Have You Been Playing segment. Mad Boy is going to talk about StarCraft or something. We're going to have the news and fan fiction. So let's start with the comments. Dirk says, this is your fan right here, Taco Man. Oh, yeah, he likes the new semi-monthly schedule instead of the old monthly schedule. It's not actually semi-monthly. As Catsman, I think, said, we record these every 3 weeks, and I tend to get them out pretty soon. But Catsman actually has important things to do, and so he tends to get them out later,
a week or so. Really shit at editing.
Oh my god.
Someone mentioned... Oh. So... Someone mentioned Civ Leader Portraits changing another Civ games. He missed that in Civ 5. It's jarring as hell to meet people in the ancient era with them having modern shit going on in the background or talking to people in the future era and having them sitting around on their old ancient thrones. I agree. For fucking Brave New World, they're probably not going to do it, but I want, like, at the, like, modern era, I want everyone to be president and, like, have a desk. I want, like, Genghis Khan wearing a suit sitting by his desk being like, I'm President Genghis Khan. I think that would be
Genghis.
Awesome. And he still has a horse in his office, though.
He really loves his horses.
Did you say Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan.
Genghis, fine.
Genghis.
Jenga Khan.
Taco Man sounds fatter like some kind of jovial Canadian Santa. He also sounds sleepy as hell, like he's holding on to his consciousness with a gargantuan effort rivaling that of creating a large bridge.
Taco Man, your thoughts?
No, I'm not done, though. I'm not done. I also love that he thinks drinking bets involve drinking gallons of milk, of all things.
Well, first off, I'm gonna address the drinking bets thing. I am a terrible alcoholic, so we'll let that one slide. I remember that last podcast, I was incredibly tired. Like, I'd been up, like, for something like, I don't know, like a good 30 hours that day. And I was just like, I just have to hang on for this podcast and then I can sleep.
I'm glad you're so dedicated to this podcast. This really warms my heart.
It's good. Warms the cockles.
Excuse me.
The cockles of my heart.
I see, I see.
Oh, the jailer just warms my cock, so I guess we're on the same page.
I didn't need to hear that.
The gradual erosion of Happy Man's sanity was amusing as hell, great ending. I think that actually didn't make sense when I listened to it in editing, because there was
gets really, really pissed in the edit, when in the actual podcast, he slowly got really pissed.
I was just kind of pissed, and he was really... Because there was about an hour and a half of footage that you didn't see where there was just chaos and no discussion whatsoever, really, people just talking over each other. And I kept disconnecting all the time because of some internet error.
I genuinely did crown Dodd's king. It was good.
Yeah.
It's funny because he also does all of the cleaning.
In his little French-made outfit, of course. Yep. He's adorable.
Gig sent us a Fresh Prince remix. It's Fresh Prince and Doom, and it fucking rules. I listened to it.
I appreciated that, yes.
Jelen V sent us an image referring to our previous podcast when we talked about Call of Duty Kawaii Edition. It's an image about like how there's now a Call of Duty Kawaii Edition out. Now their next step will be Call of Duty Furry Edition, and it shows Sonic the Hedgehog and a pony from My Little Pony in Call of Duty clothes.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you know, you think they might do? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Brony edition of Call of Duty. Imagine how much it would sell. Imagine.
Dude, it would sell a lot.
Oh, quite.
Bronies just eat that stuff
it
up.
It would sell a lot just because of the shitstorm that it would create.
Yeah, it's like Tropes versus Women.
Exactly.
But all the people
were
like, ah, I wish you get raped and stuff like that. And now people know about her, so great. What else? Oh yeah, Dushanan told us to ask people to check their mics and stop screaming. So yeah, we did that. Hopefully, I don't sound terrible now, but I don't know. I should probably hold the mic further away from my face. Oh yeah, and a guy sent us a YouTube doubler of the trailer for Transistor and a trailer for Cyberpunk 2077. I don't really know why. Perhaps you could clarify this to us. I think it's because the trailers look similar or something.
Trailers look similar. It's good enough for me.
Yeah. So that was the comments. Great comments.
Great comments overall. Really liked them.
Really appreciate. Oh yeah, Jamie sent us. Shit, how could I forget Jamie? He sent us a fix so that you can play Grim Fandango on new Windows computers.
Yes.
Thank you, Jamie. I love you.
I love you too. Jamie is the fan.
Bayasura, Bayasura, Bayasura. It's the GLA podcast.
What?
Fucking that guy from Oblivion when you become World Heavyweight Champion or something. And the guy, there's a really annoying dude who comes up and like is a fanboy.
That guy from Oblivion who is there when you become the World Heavyweight Champion.
World oh my God. Champion.
That sounds like a bad fan fiction you need to read on the podcast.
When the Dovahkiin became the World Heavyweight Champion at WWE Raw, the Punisher had something to say.
You know, or something. I don't know. Maybe
I didn't even notice that. I was just like, World Heavyweight Champion.
And there's
scrolls.
Our pro wrestling reference for the episode. Great, we got that done.
Only one? What do you mean, only one pro wrestling reference?
Well, we made one last time, too. We're talking about Macho Man Randy Savage, the greatest pro wrestling wrestler on Earth. Well, not on Earth, technically, anymore, but...
No, not on Earth anymore.
I miss you, Randy Savage.
He is always... His spirit is still here on Earth.
It's gonna have
wrestling
been,
away the demons.
It's gonna have been 2 years soon since he passed. Anyway, on to the top video picks.
So yeah, there was a bit of a disaster that happened relating to this segment.
Yes. Oh dear. I had a memory leak, and in my hurry to get everything backed up before I reinstalled everything, I forgot to back up the podcast-related stuff. And so the top video picks... I don't have the top video picks records on me right now, the leaderboards, but I do remember that Juju has now taken the lead.
Yay!
It's because he's just been here every podcast, come rain or shine. Well, no, so appears.
So have I, but he's just better than me in guessing.
Yeah, that too. He should be the new Michael Patcher. So far, I think he's had a better track record than Michael Patcher.
If you guys missed the podcast and you still want to be in the picks, just send him to me or something and I'll put you in. Anyway, for this month of May, we have Fuse. Fuck that game, by the way.
Yeah.
Metro Last Light and Resident Evil Revelations on home consoles and PC. So, hold on.
Are we going to say anything about Dark Arisen?
Excuse me?
Count.
It's already out for a start.
Oh, right, shit.
What game?
Never mind, forget it.
Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, the new one.
Oh, yeah. I actually play that game. It's, I don't hate it.
Wow.
It is.
That's an accomplishment.
I kind of like that game.
I do.
The combat's kind of messy sometimes. That's my only real complaint. Also, thank you, Capcom, for putting kids in your fucking world, in your open world RPG game, because no developer does that anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's really weird. It's, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, when you wander around.
Be a kid if you want, or an old man.
The only game that I've ever seen that justified that was Half-Life 2. Like, oh, the suppression field means no one can have babies. Every other video game ever, it's just like you wander around, there are no children you can murder.
Yeah, you know what? I think
Talking
that's bullshit.
Kids, because thing, just I want to murder them.
Live outside a primary school. I'm telling you, I want to murder kids every day of my life. This isn't going to look good on the police report. Okay.
What's the last game
of incriminating yourself?
How did you be able to kill kids like without mods? That was like Fallout 2, right?
Yes, ages ago.
Fallout fucking 2, last game where you can kill kids. Good work, video games.
I'm sure.
Now the tables have turned, of course. It is the kids who do the killing.
Fucking Dragon's Dogma, I saved and I threw my little kid NPC off a cliff to see what happened, and he died. Well, not died, but, you know, video game died. Still, though, you can throw kids off cliffs, so pretty awesome.
You can murder children, 10 out of 10.
Exactly, man. That kind of pissed me off in Fallout New Vegas when you couldn't kill that kid who had a gun to get his stuff. But it's alright, because you can trick him out of it anyway. Oh, right, video games. Top video picks. So, Catman, Fuse, Metro Last Light, Resident Evil Revelations. What are your picks? Right, I guess we should talk about games too. Fuse, fuck that game. They reveal a game at Overstrike, fucking, what was it, Insomniac Games?
Yeah.
Reveal a great game at E3 called Overstrike. It had hives. It was CG. It looked like The Incredibles, but with more violence, basically. And you can play 4-player co-op, and all the characters had different skills, and you had to work together. And it looked really cool, and it got me excited. And then EA turned it into Fuse, which is just like a fucking...
No, Insomniac turned it into Fuse, which is grimdark.
Oh, I see. We actually didn't talk about that on the news. We're going to talk about this on the news, I just realized, so we'll save that.
The news on Fuse.
Metro...
What? Ding.
Metro Last Light. This is a sequel to Metro 2033, I'm assuming.
There we go.
It's a sequel.
That
and it's been in development hell.
That game was apparently pretty fucking good. I never played it, but it seemed kind of like a fucking survival horror stalker or something.
Metro was okay.
My friend Joseph showed it to me. He looked quite impressive.
Okay, good on you, Joseph. Then there's Resident Evil Revelations, which had come out on the 3DS 2 years ago. Now it's come to home consoles. It's Capcom's actual return to survival horror games. Shawnee played it, but, so if he was here, he could talk about it, but he is not, so he can't. I don't know anyone who played it, and I have not played it, so... I'm a great video games podcaster.
I've played it. I haven't finished it yet, though.
Yeah, I've played it.
Is it any good?
It's good.
Yeah, it's all okay. Right.
So, Catman, Fuse, Metro Last Light, Resident Evil Revelations, make your picks.
RE on top, because it's Resident Evil, and even though it doesn't sell as much as Capcom wants it to, that doesn't mean it doesn't sell. And then Fuse in the middle, because I think there's probably, like, DMC certainly didn't sell a lot because the backlash was so massive, and I think there is a little bit of backlash about this as well. And then Metro on the bottom because it's Metro, and IGN will give it a 6.1 and say that it's buggy, even though it's not.
And then they gave Imagine Party Beavers a 7.5.
Yeah.
Godhead got a 5. Never forget.
Doesn't make any sense.
It was a 3, I think.
It was a 3 or a 2 or something.
Oh, shit.
Even lower than
really?
A 5. It was even lower than 5, yeah.
I hate
Not
numbers.
That 5 would be a bad score, because 5 would be an average score.
Numbers stab you in the back at any opportunity.
Don't trust them. They lie.
The internet will fill your head full of numbers. Prince said that.
Fuse had dubstep in the trailer, so I'm going to say Fuse, Resident Evil, Metro.
Dubstep in
oh
the trailer.
Oh, God, he's right as well.
Where's the dubstep?
Hazmat.
He's obviously not here.
He has become the bell.
He has become the bell, yes. And for him shall all the bells toll.
Juju, world heavyweight champion of top video games.
I'm going to say Resident Evil for number one, and I'm going to say Metro for two, just because I think it has a pretty good following, and I haven't really heard anything about Fuse in like the normal popular media. So yeah, I'm going to say Fuse is third.
None of these games have been marketed, really.
Yeah. Well, maybe they have and we've just ignored all of it.
I think everybody just hates Fuse, though.
I mean, I don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah, that might be it. I never know about games coming out because I just never watch TV.
I bet if there'd been 14 stupid, annoying adverts for the next Call of Duty DLC with dubstep in them, but I don't know.
And I have Adblock, so I don't see those either, so I don't know. I never get informed about games. Which I don't really care about, because fuck video games.
Yeah, well, fuck video games.
Anyway,
you
Memo,
can go
you
to
here?
Gather your party for honest gaming journalism, so why would you need to find anything else?
My boy, you here? You ready to make your top video picks?
I'm here. My picks were probably Resident Evil first, I guess. I mean, that's what makes the most sense, I suppose. And then, well, I don't think Metro ever sold that much. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Not really, so, I don't think.
Yeah, so probably I'm going to follow Cats. I'm going to say Fuse and Metro. Metro will probably be last.
All right, to Renbach.
Hello. Resident Evil would be the most obvious. It's being ported to, like, every platform. I think Metro second and Fuse third.
That's true. It's going on a very wide range of platforms. Taco Man.
I'm going to say Resident Evil is going to sell the best. And Metro is going to sell the best because Fuse seems to have really, really shit reviews.
Does it?
Well, just everybody seems to hate it from what I've seen.
For good reason, too.
Well, yeah, because of the whole from changing it over from, you know, kind of with a more cartoony to the grimdark. I think Metro will do good because it's completely different from any of the. There are actually other Metro books than the original Metro. But anyways, Metro is going to do well because they're marketing it and it's, you know, it's going to be okay. But I think Resident Evil is going to do the best because it's going to be. You know, people are going to want to buy it because, first off, it's Resident Evil, and then it's going to be like, haha, you Nintendo kiddies don't have your exclusive anymore, yada yada. It's also on PC, so.
Yeah. You know, I got something to say about greater reboots that I was thinking about the other day. What if they start making cartoony reboots?
I love it.
Next Assassin's Creed, they make it like the movie The Road to El Dorado. That'd be fucking awesome.
I'd buy 5 copies.
Cartoony Witcher 3.
Can we just have every game turn into Wind Waker? Because that would be acceptable.
Game developers, please make your games. Please make cartoony reboots.
Too cartoony for my taste, but I mean, I'd be interested in seeing, you know, less grimdark, more kind of happy-go-lucky, like Skyward Sword kind of shit.
Works for me.
Reboot Call of Duty, only with cute girls doing cute things. I'd play that.
I like that anime.
Moe Blobs.
Yeah, Moe Blob Call of Duty.
I'd buy 10 of that.
Also, I didn't get to say mine because I keep disconnecting.
Oh, shit.
Really
okay,
awkward.
Say yours.
Whatever Juju said, because he always wins, so I'm going to always win as well. I missed it because I cut off halfway through, so I'll just go with whatever he said. I mean, it's a good bet.
You can't do that.
Yes,
that's
I can.
That's cheating.
Yes, I can. I just did.
Okay, all the showers. I missed the what are you playing thing.
To be fair, almost everyone said Resident Evil Metro Fuse, which is what Juju said. Except me. I went Fuse Resident Evil Metro, so this could be either really bad for me or really good. We'll
I'm
see.
Just being honest. Everyone else is deluding themselves. I'm just being
Hats fan, do you get back? You can make your picks.
Me?
Who just got back? Was it Vash or Hazmat?
Hazmat.
Okay. Resident Evil, Revelations, Fuse, and Metro... Last Light.
So, Resident Evil, what?
Revelations.
I don't know.
Which will make the most money in its first week?
I want to say how much hate Resident Evil got. Resident Evil 6 got. It's probably not going to be Resident Evil. But, I don't know. So I'm going to say Metro. Why not?
Okay.
It's like birds. What are birds? We just don't know.
Is Vash still not back?
That's like...
No, I'm back now.
It's okay.
Like religious people asking me to prove the sun. Fuck, I don't need to prove the sun. That shit...
Oh yeah, there is more proof that God exists than there is of the sun.
Resident Evil, Fuse, Metro. What are your picks?
Fuse, Resident Evil, Metro.
Good picks.
Yeah, those are my picks too. I'm not alone. You're going down with me if we lose, man.
Great.
Okay, so that took a while. On to on to the new segment. It is called the Game Book Club. This is a segment that was created to give us an excuse to talk about good games for once. Basically, what we're gonna do is we pick a game that we play through together. Well, not together, really. We play through it between... Or not play through, really. We play it between the course
now,
of this episode
and the next
episode.
Podcast.
Yeah.
So we don't play it. Is that the key I'm getting here?
Yeah, you do play it.
No, we play between, video games.
Between this podcast and the next podcast, and then we talk about it for a little bit. Basically, I just want to talk about good games for once, because we never do that. And
good
also,
luck.
I would love it if the listeners also played the game and sent us a comment talking about how they felt about it.
Good idea. Good idea.
Listeners?
Also,
his name's Jamie.
Yeah. We totally didn't steal this idea from Watch Out for Fireballs. Just a disclaimer. Right. So
good cover, happy.
Yeah, great. So I thought two games that we could play until next time. You guys could pick. They're both old games. We really should be covering like old games or indie games, because those are good generally
games.
And they're easy to get.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy them generally. So I thought of first one being ActRaiser. I think most of us have played ActRaiser. I don't know.
I have.
It's lovely.
That game's really awesome, though. I'd love to replay that. The other one is kind of a favorite of mine. I don't know how many others have played it. It's called Monster Party on the NES.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Monster Party.
Okay, I have to go, so I'm sorry. This is where I'm leaving.
Okay,
bye-bye.
See
you. I'll leave you with
bye.
This.
Can you give us... Yeah, there we go.
Can we badmouth him now that he's gone? Can hate him.
Fucking hate that guy, Jesus.
Fucking hate that guy. That bell is the most annoying thing I've ever heard in my life.
So ActRaiser on the SNES is like a joint action game and like city building sim game. Basically, you are God and you gotta go down to Earth and smite the monsters that inhabit different lands. And once the monsters are gone, you can build a town there and like help the people prosper. And occasionally you gotta help your people by fighting more monsters alongside them. So really fucking good game. The other one is Monster Party. It is a NES platformer that's fucking weird as hell. It has some of the rare instances of like blood in an NES game, and some pretty funny bosses that say ridiculous things to you before you fight them. So can I request
a game either for this time or next time, perhaps?
Yeah.
Papers, please.
Oh, that's this one.
Greenlit recently, wasn't it?
It's an indie game in which you play as a man who works in a border control office.
Sounds enlightening.
Oh, Papers, Please. It's all right. It's kind of interesting, and if you, the more people you process, the more money you make, and you got a family to feed, and you got bills to pay, and shit like that. And it's working for, what was the name of the country, like Arstoska or some Eastern European name.
It's kind of very, very, very Eastern European, then. Yeah, that's more like Asian.
Yeah,
Arstoska.
Arstoska. Yeah, a fake country, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's completely fake.
And it's innovative. I mean, I don't remember any other games that have...
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Like so, one of those would be fine by me.
Should we do, like, each episode we pick between two retro games and two indie games, like we alternate?
Yeah, does anyone else have a game that they want to plug?
I got Ahriman's Quest, I guess. Nobody knows it?
No.
Nope.
Holy fuck. Well, it's an RPG, so I don't think anyone will want to play it, but since it's free, I guess it's not that much of a bother. It's got pretty much SNES graphics. It's quite long. It's not JRPG long, but it's long enough that you can play like 15, 20 hours. The fighting system's kind of cheap. Oh, you've got, let's say, four characters possible in your party. Eventually, you only control one, and you don't have any battle level, you don't have any, you don't enter battles. You just meet enemies on the map, and what happens is you press space, you attack, and it immediately switches to the next character, and that way you switch between all characters, and each of them attack at the same time. It's kind of simplistic, but it works pretty well. So, yeah, I guess I got Ahriman's Quest.
Does it have a good storyline? That's kind of essential for me for RPGs. I can't play.
Look, I did enjoy the story enough that I wanted to play through it. But then again, I play FF10, so I guess Happy Man's going to scream that it's going to be shit.
I'm looking at the screenshots now. I'm not sure I dig the RPG Maker default graphics, but...
Visually, it's shitty, but honestly, I don't know. I just enjoyed myself enough that I wanted to finish it, and that doesn't happen often.
One of those, like, relaxing, no-commitment games that's just enjoyable to play on a sunny afternoon.
No, it's still an RPG, but it's got that SNES touch where you go from... Well, I won't say Secret of Mana, because that's a wild comparison, but, you've got some basic, typical island zone at the beginning of the game, then you went to deserts, you go to Iceland, you go to visit this, you go to visit that. It's very diverse. That's probably why I went through it. Its world is diverse enough that you'll have fun. It does have its highs and lows, though, but, well, overall, it was very playable. So that's my game, really.
Alrighty.
What do you think? Okay. We got to come to a decision, so we got to move on here. How about... We do fucking Ahriman's Quest and Papers, Please next time. So we got two indies. And this time we do Act Racer and Monster Party, so we got two retros.
I'll probably just do one of the two.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, then we can come to a decision. I'm going to flip a coin. Heads for Act Racer, tails for Monster Party.
Who has the coin?
Monster Party it is. Next segment.
Monster fucking party, yes.
That game's fucking funny, man. I love that game.
Mm.
Okay, so...
Oh, shit.
My boy, your segment about StarCraft.
Want me to do it now? Okay, well, I guess here goes. So, well, there's a lot to say, but I'll try to keep it short. So, the thing was, StarCraft, and I don't think any serious RTS player will deny it, StarCraft is pretty damn weak as strategy games go. It's not exactly weak in the sense of, bad. It's just weak in the sense that whenever I'm thinking real good strategy, StarCraft is probably going to be the lowest on the list. The thing that makes StarCraft popular is not its talent for strategy or anything. It's not because it's a good strategy game, it's because it's a fast game. It's all about speed, and well, that's pretty much the only thing that sells it. That and a good story. And, well, the new StarCraft, Heart of the Swarm, I guess they didn't reject anything that was already, in essence, StarCraft 2. It's pretty much the same game. There has been a few interesting additions to each race, some new species, some new units, some new this and that, but at the core, it's the same game. The real thing they sort of fucked over was, well, I guess I need to explain this. In Wings of Liberty, which is the original StarCraft 2, we were controlling a guy who happens to be fighting against an empire of evil and who happens to be human and be surrounded by humans. This time we were controlling a girl who happens to be the leader of the empire of evil, and the empire of evil is a bunch of evil critters that speaking grah. It was gonna be kind of difficult to write a story. Well, there were many ways we could have gone with it, but let's say the way they decided to go with it was, we're going to make a cast of characters. Half of them will be evil, badass monsters that speaking all the time, and the other cast will be looking like monsters, but at the core and in the way they'll act and think, they'll be humans. And they ended up with this decision of making half the cast monsters and half the cast are pretty much acting like humans. And I'm not going to lie, it's fucking awful. It breaks the game, like, completely. It breaks the storytelling, and it's not exactly like I can completely blame Blizzard for fucking everything over, because it was going to be difficult anyway, but they really just, they went the lamest decision. This is like Sega doing the 32X or something. This is like trying too hard to keep going with what they had with Wings of Liberty. They should have really tried to remake another kind of writing, and they didn't dare to do it. They went with the same formula as with Wings of Liberty, and it doesn't work. The story doesn't work. Most of the characters don't feel Zerg. They don't feel like monsters. They feel like half humans, and that doesn't work. And one of the problems that StarCraft 2 always had in its story, and it's been going ever since Brood War, which was the extension that came out more than 10 years ago. One of the biggest problems was it's filled with shit. It's padded to hell. Like, in Wings of Liberty, there were 28 missions, and two missions actually had some kind of result on the fate of the universe. Everything else was just filler and filler and filler and padding. And in Heart of Swarm, it's the same but worse. It's like there's even more padding. I don't even know how they fucking managed it. But one of the, almost every problem that was here in Wings of Liberty, actually, is the same in Heart of the Swarm, in worse. In essence, that's it. Actually, if Heart of the Swarm came out first, it would have made more sense, because it sort of feels like a prototype to Wings of Liberty. It's the same thing and less good in every single aspect. And Blizzard sucks at making good strategy games, but one effort they made, which was absolutely commendable in Wings of Liberty, was that they tried, for the campaign at least, to do every mission, to have with every mission a different kind of objective or a different kind of, you know, winning the mission. There was the classics like tower defense or defend your base or get one item or kill one unit. Okay, but there were some interesting things like attacking trains, there were get certain items a certain number before your enemy gets a certain number of the same items. You know, it had its own originality for each mission. And unfortunately, Heart of the Swarm, they reused the same kind of gameplay that they used in Wings of Liberty, so it feels rehashed, because it is. And along with that, there isn't many new fun things. I could say more, but I'm going to spoil the story, and Happy Man asked me to be concise. In essence, that's pretty much it. The game didn't really change that much. If you didn't like Wings of Liberty, you won't like Heart of the Swarm. But like, Wings of Liberty isn't bad, but it's got its problems. It's like you'll be like me. Like, I finished Wings of Liberty 6 times before I got bored. And with Heart of the Swarm, I finished it one time, I tried again, and I was like, not worth going through all of this. Not worth going through all of this mess of a game with gameplay that is not as interesting as Wings of Liberty, especially for a story that is just that fucking padded. It's not awful. I mean, it's still high quality, okay, but it's clearly not as good as its predecessor. And I think they just fucked up by really going with the weak, with the meek approach to the story. So, with the character, at least. That's pretty much all I gotta say. Well, all I gotta say that can be kept concise.
Every game should just be like...
So, yeah, can I hate on Blizzard for a minute for closing Blizzard North?
Yeah.
Fucking hate Blizzard for doing that, seriously. Okay.
What did Blizzard North do?
Blizzard North was Diablo.
Oh, fuck that. It's
they weren't also the people that did Lost Vikings, were they, originally?
Okay, that's more like possibly. It. That's more like it. That's, you sure? Because Lost Vikings?
Is the shit.
No.
That game's Lost badass, man.
Blizzard North? Really? Blizzard
it was
North?
It was not DMA, and they turned it into... Was... I might be confusing my British developers.
DMA is Space Station Silicon Valley.
It was Interplay. I'm
DMA,
sure it was
who was
Interplay.
It then? I'm going to have to look it up
Interplay.
Now.
Interplay. I'll fucking blame Blizzard forever for dumbing up. Really, StarCraft is like the Call of Duty of real-time strategy. It's just, it fucked everything.
Which is funny, because Activision now have WoW, they have Call of Duty, and they have StarCraft, and not a lot else. So they've got three lowest common denominators of their respective genre. So
yeah, and next year Activision is going to be named the worst company in the United States, I guess.
Nah, but EA.
No, it's going to be EA because of
it's
nerds.
It's still going
to
be EA.
Okay.
In fairness, I would still say they are the worst. They are the worst developer publisher combo thing, I would say. Still.
Yeah, but far from the worst company.
Yeah, far from the worst company. No, by all means, I agree with you on that one. There's far worse people polluting the ocean or dumping nuclear waste in holes in the ground or whatever, but.
Hey, in terms holes of, in the ground is the safest place to put nuclear waste.
It probably is.
As you long as you've got it in a properly sealed container.
Dumping out into space, maybe.
Space is probably even safer, to be honest. Space is full of nuclear things
what you want
going
to do
on.
Space
is just loads of nothing with the occasional big blob of nuclear activity.
Exactly.
If I could put nuclear waste into space, I would.
Well, this is it. If you look at Superman, who's a role model for us all, whenever he gets rid of a nuclear weapon, he throws it into the sun. I think we should be doing that, to be honest with you. It's the best solution for everyone.
What if the sun gets cancer from illegal immigrants?
Oh, no!
And then by proxy, we all get skin cancer because the sun has cancer.
Exactly. Double
cancer.
Oh,
no!
This is why none of you are going to run a country, or I hope to God none of you are.
I've got my eye on that floating island of rubbish that's several miles across in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Plastic beach?
Sea lamp?
Oh, damn! Oh! Sick burn! Are you gonna act, New Zealand?
I'm sorry, New Zealand.
Are you gonna act?
You had to hear that.
Flight of the Conchords are gonna make a diss song about you now. No, they're too nice to make a diss song. The biggest diss song they made was when they met Eminem, it's not very good. JC, it's not very good. Tupac, it's not very good. And that was their diss song.
Outstanding.
So Tupac wasn't very good?
But the rhinoceros is very, very good. Anyway, what have we been playing? I played Crazy Taxi because after we talked about Crazy Taxi last episode, I wanted to get a hold of that shit because that game's awesome.
Good fun.
And so I looked if there were any good ports, and there was one port for Steam and PSN. And I was about to buy it when I saw that there was no originals. There was no soundtrack that the Dreamcast version had. There was no yeah. I didn't buy it. But there was an iOS port that had it. But I didn't want to play that game either because it is an iOS port. So I bought it for my Dreamcast.
Oh, you'd love that Dreamcast, happy man.
The moral of the story is, don't trust ports. And
my favorite port,
the Offspring,
of
is the greatest
is
band
I...
of the 90s.
Oh. Yeah.
That is yeah in Swedish.
That with the J's.
Yep. I have the GameCube port of that game, and it's fantastic.
Oh yeah. There were two sequels to that damn game.
I'm sure there were.
Yeah, but nobody bought them.
Were they not arcade only?
I used to actually play it.
No, I think Crazy Taxi 2 was on GameCube.
It was.
Ooh, okay, fair enough. I didn't know that. Things I did not know.
I think Crazy Taxi 2 had a jump feature. You can jump over cars. Because you had the most kick-ass lowrider in the world, I guess, that uses crazy springs. Anyway, what have you been playing?
I love cars that can jump. I love any racing game where the car can jump. I'm not really... Even if the game has no function for jumping, I'm not really happy in a game unless I can jump.
So in terms of, like, going off ramps and stuff, does that count for you?
Yes.
Or do you have to have a dedicated jump function?
I would rather a dedicated jump function.
Mm. Why isn't there a good Speed Racer game yet?
Didn't Twisted Metal have a...
There was one.
Like go, go, Speed Racer.
Well, as for what I've been playing, I've still been suffering through Donkey Kong 3 2, and I've been getting mad to the point of real definite madness.
Wait, Donkey Kong Country 2, you're suffering through that? The game rules.
No, it doesn't.
Donkey Kong Country 2, that game's pretty good.
I complained about Donkey Kong Country on this before?
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country as a whole is not very good, but 2 is the best one, I think.
Donkey Kong Country was really fucked up, but really good. Donkey Kong. Actually, I prefer 1-2 for now.
I'm not a fan of Donkey Kong Country, but.
No, 2 is just. It's like, you know, 1 was extremely dickish. Like 9 deaths out of 10. It's you didn't see that one coming. Yeah, you know, like you jump out the edge of the screen. Something comes up, you die.
But Minecraft
this
level.
One is done.
Minecart level. I said Minecraft level.
Oh damn!
I think everyone remembers the minecart because it was the first level where you just suffered this hard. Actually, it's not bad once you get used to it.
When you're a kid, it's easily the hardest level. You're like, what the fuck do I do? Because you've never really played anything like this before, usually.
Yeah, it's really difficult, but it gets way worse. None of it, 2 is done better, but it's like, you know, it's like the first game, the guys tried making the most dickish game, like how many cheap deaths can I make you have? And the second one was like, okay, so we got knocked on the fingers for making such a dickish game where you die unfairly so many times. So now we're gonna make you a game that actually doesn't have many dickish deaths where you die. It's really because you just don't have the skills. But in exchange, just so we can keep up with the rhythm, we're gonna make it 5 times more fucking difficult. Oh man, oh, fucking hell. It's a great game, but Jesus, you really have to, it's like grinding your balls against a rock. It's just so rough. I mean, on the side note, at the same time, I've been playing
for clarifying.
Yes, you're welcome. On the same time, I've been playing through Super Castlevania 4, same console, same control, same everything.
Yeah.
I went through the game, well, not through, like, I didn't finish it, but I went almost till the end of the game in 2 tries. Like, I started the game, went all the way to level 4, I started the game again, went all the way to level 8, and then I stopped, and I streamed it all. And Donkey Kong Country, it's going to take me like a thousand, Donkey Kong Country 2, it's going to take me like 1,000 deaths before I can stream the end. This is, who the fuck decided to do this? Who was
I
the saddest
watch this
now. You got to level 8 in Castlevania 2 and like in Castlevania 4 and what, 2 continues?
Mm.
Man.
No, not, yeah. Not to continue. I streamed it the first time. I got like 8 game overs. And then the second time I streamed it, I got into 8th level with, 1 continue.
Okay. That game's pretty difficult. I watched Hexler play through most of it, and he's Mr. Castlevania. He loves that game.
Well, and, he's gonna fucking disagree.
Yeah, he didn't beat it. He got pretty pissed. He couldn't beat it.
It's not that hard. It's just that, you know, that they made the whip controls really good. So I feel like if you can manage to control the whip well, it's fucking awesome. But the jumping controls are kind of shitty. So every time you get one of these trap doors that these trap floors that fall that make you fall whenever you jump on them. Oh god! I mean, the first time I must have done 8 game overs. Out of 8 game overs, I think like half of them was because of trap floors. And, this is a good game when it comes to controls, like with the whip and with fighting in general, with the weapons, but when it comes to movements, it's kind of ugly sometimes.
Isn't Super Castlevania 4 basically identical in terms of movement controls to normal Castlevania, though?
You mean Castlevania 1?
Yeah, it's the original Castlevanias, yeah.
Not at all.
So, like,
you've got
set jump arcs and you can't edit them after you've made the jump. You have to think about each jump before you make them.
No. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot smoother. It's not perfect,
different.
But it's not a lot smoother than the old NES games.
Okay.
The early Castlevania games, you jumped, you couldn't move the jumps, but in this one,
exactly,
you can move the jump at all moments, during, before, or after the jump. No. It's perfect controls.
And it has 8-way whip as well.
Yeah, the whip is really strong.
Well, somewhat. You cannot aim the whip down and right when you're walking. You have to jump, which is kind of stupid sometimes, but the controls are good.
I have been streaming Final Fantasy VIII for...
Fuck that game. No, actually, we talked about this game before. We're not talking about it anymore.
So yeah, I finished Final Fantasy VIII for everyone, all the way through in its entirety, minus maybe two or three subquests. Better than I remember it as a child, actually. I must confess, it's been, what, 10 plus years since I played it.
Minor subquests, like the best quest in the game, which you refused stubbornly to do, even though everyone in chat was asking you to do it.
What was that, the Queen of Cards?
Of course.
Yeah, I missed the Queen of Cards. I got all the other cards in the game, in fairness. I got every single other card in the game except those ones, so I think that's okay. I can always go back and do them as well, so I'm not overly concerned. So yeah, I did that, I've now started a new game for the GLA, so that's fun also. And other than that, I've been going to arcades in the UK, which is really, really a new thing, because we've not had arcades
in the UK.
There are arcades in the UK. I went into London yesterday with a couple of friends, and we went to a new place that opened only a couple of weeks ago called The Heart of Gaming. And it's novel in that it isn't pay-to-play in terms of you put, like, a coin in a machine and you have a credit. You pay £10 on the door, and you can have as long as you want on that day, and every single machine is free play. So that was cool.
Dude,
so free play on arcades.
£10 is a lot, but that's a lot less than it would be to spend a... Like, so I've seen arcade machines, like, in bowling alleys that cost, like, £2.
£2.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's so, why arcades died here.
Pretty much, yeah. So they're trying this out, and the guy, as far as I can tell, has been sort of a player in the arcade space in the UK, such as it has been for the last sort of 20 years or so, it looks to be that way. So he's having another crack at it at an old industrial unit in London, and it went pretty well. Pretty much focused on fighting games at the moment, but they have a lot of other stuff in the back that they're trying to sort in terms of more shoot 'em ups and more other sort of genres and that kind of thing. So yeah, it was pretty fun. I spoke to him about it, and apparently there's another really retro arcade, sort of like the Pac-Man Missile Command era kind of deal that's opening in Southend, I think it is. So that's cool as well. So there's all sorts of stuff going on in the arcade scene in the UK, but we tend to hear about it.
Are these things ever going to come out of London, or are they just going to stay in London for the rich people to play with?
The first one, I've no idea. He's London-based and has been London-based for that 20 years he's been doing it. There's a couple of others, and there's always like the Replay Expo and things like that happen once a year. But Southend, I think, is one of them, but that's sort of like, still in the southeast, I think, isn't it still? Southend? I think so.
You're looking at me as if I would know.
I don't know, but that's sort of happening as well. But there was a gauntlet machine.
So
there was
British.
A full player
we
gauntlet
cannot understand.
Machine. But there was a full player gauntlet machine, and that's fantastic.
Oh shit! I love gauntlets. So
I know
much.
Full player gauntlet machine. It's like, oh, I'm gonna play this.
What's your favorite arcade game?
Ooh.
I gotta say, Turtles in Time.
I gotta say Sunset Riders.
Time Crisis 2 for me, I'm afraid.
Even though I've never played it in an arcade, I'm gonna say Bubble Bobble.
Oh, yeah. Shock. Juju likes Bubble Bobble.
And for games that I've actually played in arcade, I've only played in arcade like one or two times, but I'm gonna say Time Crisis 4.
Ugh.
Sweden has no arcades. I went to one arcade when I was in the UK. It was pretty awesome. A little black kid beat my ass at Street Fighter.
Yeah.
They have little black kids in Sweden?
No, in the UK.
Oh, right, yeah.
Actually
we have
in Sweden,
here.
Too, but...
Oh, okay.
My favorite
Sweden has no arcades. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. My favorite arcade game was Virtual On. I loved that machine.
Oh.
House of the Dead's the best. You're all wrong.
House of the Dead's pretty good. House of the Dead is pretty good, but Time Crisis has a special place in my heart. Time House Crisis and Metal Slug. Too. Metal Slug is something special as well.
Yeah.
Bionic Commando, the arcade one.
Ooh.
Strider, the arcade version.
All of these are good games.
Did anybody play Gauntlet Legend?
Was that the GameCube one?
Fucking really? I hate all
of them.
That
was on PS1,
wasn't it? Oh, PS1.
Yeah, I think it was a PS1 version.
Yeah, the only gauntlet I played was Dark Legacy.
Well, then the arcade was way better than that one.
God, I'm trying to think of arcade games. There used to be a time where I'd play them constantly, and now I can't remember any of them. Fucking hell.
Because they all died in the UK. And it was really nice to see that someone's actually trying to make the effort to bring them back. And they're trying to do as many sort of events as they can, trying to drum up as much support as they can. So yeah, I thoroughly recommend them. If you are a UK listener of this podcast and you are anywhere near the West London area or can get there, I would heartily recommend the Heart of Gaming. There you go. Heartily. Kill myself.
I haven't been playing that much lately, but what I have played is I streamed Miso recently, which is a indie Japanese horror game. It's made by the same person that made Mad Father.
Ooh.
Mm.
And it was okay. It was on the better side of good. It's not really all that spooky. It's more about all the ridiculous ways you die. The story is, 3 months ago, a girl from your class went missing, and one day you go to school, and suddenly you're transported to this alternate universe, and you find out that the girl that went missing has cursed your class, and you are forced to find 6 different pieces of her body to summon her and break the curse or whatever.
Oh, so it's fucking Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest. That's exactly what
I was just gonna fucking say it.
But, you now process Dracula's rib.
It does that thing.
You don't actually need to fight the last boss. You can just breeze through it. You don't need to face death.
It does the thing where it lulls you into this false sense of security where you're like, oh, this game isn't all that great. The dialogue is campy at best. And then during like the final cutscene of the game, it just kind of hits you with something for shock value, and you just suddenly feel awful. And you might want to have a few kitten videos ready for when you finish the game.
But so it's got sort of a witch's house thing going on then.
Yeah.
But it sounds a lot like Corpse Party to me.
My favorite death happened to me. It was my first
my
death,
favorite
actually.
Death.
I walked down the stairs after I got informed about what's going on. And then in the middle of the hallway, there's a piece of paper. And you pick it up, and it's all bloody. And it says, "You're dead." And then the next screen is some dead chick's face, and then you die.
The best death is definitely getting hit by the car.
That is also a pretty good death.
Do you have a link for this game?
Yeah, I can link it. And so that was that game. And then last night, I played a demo for another horror game. It's an Indonesian horror game.
Ooh, this one. The camera game, right?
Yeah, it's called Red Out. It's on Steam Greenlight, and I really recommend that everyone go and give it a like or whatever it is so it can get made. You play the schoolgirl, and you have like a smartphone, and you look around, and there are ghosts and different like Indonesian horror that's what I'm looking for, like myths and stuff, and you can hold up your phone, and that's the only way you can see them is through the phone. The demo only took me like 15 to 20 minutes to play, but during that time I had a couple jump scares and just a general nope sense. So I really recommend that everyone go and like it so it can be made.
Is this different really like playing to Project Zero, or is this similar?
I mean, what's the...
I think it's
Fatal
called
Frame.
Fatal Frame in the
Fatal
US.
Frame, yeah.
Shawnee
would
talk
like
about
that.
This.
It's kind of like that in the sense that you have a camera on your phone and you take pictures to beat certain enemies, but it seems less like, I don't know, with Fatal Frame, when you have to charge up your meter and then take the picture and all the little orbs come out, it kind of feels a little arcadey to me. But this is trying to be, you know, like a regular just horror game. It actually looks pretty good, too.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's really all I've been playing.
Would you be able to pass us a green light link as well?
Sure, I can do that.
Does anyone want to hear about what I've been playing?
Is it a horror game?
Spyro.
No, actually, I wasn't going to talk. I'm almost to the end of Spyro 3 now. I've just got those fucking Yetis to do.
I was going to say, didn't you rage quit Spyro?
Fucking hate those Yetis. No, I had to go for another reason. Anyway, the game I've been playing recently is Poker Knight at the Inventory 2.
It's funny.
What's in that? Who are the characters?
I like poker. Okay, Brock Samson. Good.
Yeah.
Claptrap. Not good.
Oh, no way. I'm not going to play that game now.
The amazing thing about Claptrap is that he's utterly shit at poker, and he's normally out within the first few hands. So don't worry about it. Ash from Evil Dead, who's, guess, has a couple funny lines, but not original voice actor, and, you know, it feels a bit weird. And then Sam, who plays poker exactly like I do.
Sam and Max Sam or Serious Sam?
Sam and Max Sam.
Sam and Max. Oh, but maybe I'll touch forward about Sam and Max.
He fucking just folds every single hand without fail, just like me. It's amazing. I've met my poker equal. Oh, and GLaDOS is the dealer, and she has some very funny lines, so that's all good.
Kind of sad there's no TF2 character. I really like those characters, man. It's kind of weird because it's, you know, it's a multiplayer FPS, but those guys are pretty funny.
I don't know why TF2 doesn't really have any reason to have such amusing characters, but it does.
Yeah,
I wish they would mix it up, like have a pool night at the inventory or something.
Poker is better than pool. Let's be honest here.
Darts night at the inventory.
I would play darts night.
You have to talk at pool. In poker, you got to talk. That's the point.
I would play table tennis night. Oh, sorry, whiff-waff night.
Dude, ping pong night at the inventory.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I bet Scout from TF2 would be kick-ass at ping pong, man.
Oh, boy.
I want to pre-order poker night and get a ping pong racket for the Scout as a bat replacement.
Oh, yeah, but that's most people just play it for, like, the TF2 items, of course. Yeah. I think.
You say they play it, they buy it and never, ever play it.
No, they buy it, and then they have to play the game to unlock the item.
Oh, so you have to boot the game up to play it, but you actually have to get achievements and stuff.
You have to do certain things in the game. Like, it'll be like, oh, you need to, like, do these three things, and they'll be like, go into three showdowns and, you know, bluff your way to, like, whatever. And if you complete those three things, the next time a character comes, they're like, I have this really valuable item that I'm going to give to you for no reason if you beat me in poker. So it actually takes a surprising amount of effort. Fantastic. And that's the reason that those items are so valuable in TF2. It's because you actually have to play video games to get them for once, unlike everything else in TF2.
It's time for the news. Our first piece of news, I'm not even going to preface this, nor am I really going to go into it. Turkish sociologist declares that all children with autism are atheists, and atheism is a form of autism.
What do you do?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Impressive. That. It's like talking about Anita Sarkeesian. It's just, why?
Oh my god.
Yes, why?
I never want to...
Viral hipster casual autism.
Fantastic.
I actually kind of like Anita Sarkeesian now just because she pisses off so many nerds. She must be doing something right?
Happy man living up to his name.
Nerds.
You know what's a good movie? Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, God.
That movie's fucking terrible. Anyway, where is it? Oh, yeah. Nintendo skipping out on a free press conference. Instead of holding a smaller one.
Yep.
Is this because they have nothing to announce? Because they said earlier, oh, we're going to release a whole load of new stuff for the Wii U later this year. And now they're cancelling their press conference. Like, it doesn't exactly fill you with hope.
I think the idea is...
It's possible, but I'm pretty sure... I'm not an expert on a subject in terms of... I'm not an expert on communication or anything, but... If you guys really wanted to just not release it, they certainly would not make their own personal show of it. Like, go to E3 and be all, it's us, and, you know, we've got some games here. A new one Wii U game that happens to be a rehash from an NES game, and, you know, they try to be forgotten. But making their own show, either they're really, I don't know, either
when you say
really
making their own
important.
Show,
so
they're not making their own show.
I think he's talking about Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
That's meaning short.
They've already presented everything that they can. Like,
the point is,
if they go to E3, if they go to E3, there's not going to be that much we already haven't heard of, and there's no major groundbreaking news that they have for everybody. It's just
They don't have one big thing for the conference, so instead they're just spreading it out over Nintendo.
Title is slightly misleading. They are going to have a holding one for the press, just not like a not televised, but streamed press conference. Not going to have that.
Like I said, they've already shown everything.
Yeah. Anyway, who's going to watch E3 this year? Not me.
You're not?
Actually, I am, just because it's funny to me.
Yeah, it's funny to me as well.
And I won't be around, because
no games. There's no games
I'm
I give a shit about.
I'm going
to
watch the Ubisoft presentation just for the dance routines. And the bad lesbian jokes.
I didn't care about any single game that was...
I liked the lesbian jokes. What about Watch Dogs?
Yeah, I was getting to that. Like, not even
pre-order DLC.
Got a release Watch Dogs,
I mean, it looks okay, but whatever, man. It's not that cool.
I hear it's a bit of a letdown.
Rayman.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it is, because no game that looks good can be good anymore.
Rayman,
of course.
Rayman looks good and is good.
Rayman's always,
okay.
Always good.
I will give you Rayman.
But he's French. Pats. We're not allowed to like him because he's French.
Well, in Canada, we actually have to like the French, unfortunately, so...
Well, you and my boy get along very well, then. We don't like the French. British people.
We're sort of pushed into it. We want our own rights. We want to be our own country. Make up your mind.
Streamer fakes disability for money.
Oh, God, this...
That's pretty old, though, isn't it?
It's pretty bad.
It happened after. Oh, goddamn it.
Happened after the last podcast reporting.
Yeah, it happened right after last podcast. So it was this guy who streams video games and he's like, I'm disabled. And there was that video of him. He left the camera on and he visibly got up and walked away. And then he was questioned about it. And he was like, oh, my dog knocked something over and I magically acquired the ability to walk. And Twitch banned his channel because Twitch are cool.
So here's the link to it. This guy looks like an asshole, by the way. Look at the video.
Okay. Note to people listening, in case you're an idiot, do not give money to random clowns on the internet who say they're disabled. I thought this was common knowledge.
Many people think that things are common knowledge, cats.
Also, don't give your money to Nigerian princes.
Mm-hmm, that too. Unless they have to be very persuasive before you give them your money.
Well, unless they claim they're totally legit.
So, this guy was running like a charity stream so that he could buy, he got $20,000, he was going to use them to buy electronics, a wheelchair, and
buy
enough money to...
mechanical legs.
Yeah, he's going
to
get
mechanical legs early, and he wanted to show them to everyone. <That's why. laughs> And then this whole travesty happened.
He just bought them by phone while the stream was going on somehow, and enough money to move across the country and live near his girlfriend. But during the stream, he walked off and came back on without his wheelchair. And it's like, dude, you had one thing you needed to think about to keep the cruise going. You had one thing. How could you screw that up? Come on.
I mean, worst comes to worst is you could have just put like a little belt over you to keep you in, like strapped into a wheelchair or something. Like, oh, fuck, right, I'm not supposed to get up. Like, simple shit here, man.
Thanks, internet.
Yeah, great.
Giving us these wonderful opportunities to laugh at other people's incompetence.
Yeah.
So, a piece of good news this week: Earthbound is coming to Virtual Console. Fuck yeah, it's back, bitch. Love that game. Hold on, let me bring it up.
It took so long. It got an ESRB listing in like 2008.
I think it's really encouraging that it's coming across, because it could be the start, maybe if we're lucky, of other more obscure titles coming across that people in the West wouldn't have played before.
Well, interestingly enough,
Earthbound's not obscure, like, it's just Nintendo refusing to acknowledge it.
I would say it's obscure to most of the people who haven't already looked it up on the internet.
Yeah, that's true. How do people not know Earthbound? Come on.
Well, maybe now...
These people are fucking scrubs, man.
If you haven't played Earthbound, you're literally worse than Hitler.
No, he's Hitler. Hitler's been playing our fun eater, so fuck him.
No,
yeah, exactly.
He used his Nazi time machine to go forward in time and play Earthbound.
We talked about Command. We talked about Command and Conquer already.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged by this. I really want to see, right? The guy who made Mother 3's translation patch. He updated his blog. He said, "Look, Nintendo, I know you hate Earthbound and Mother 3, and I know you hate me for translating this game, but I just want you to know, if you ever want to like re-release Mother 3 and like a compilation or something and release it in the West, then you can have all of my translation resources for free."
I don't think they're going to use it, sadly.
No.
I know, they wouldn't, it's because really it's Nintendo and they're very strictly run, but it's a very nice gesture.
Nintendo they don't want to use... They're afraid of a lawsuit, basically. They want to use anything that's free. It's the same reason why they never take any suggestions on their games, which is because if they do that, then somebody can go up to them and go, "Hey, that was my idea. You stole it. Didn't give me credit." Even though they might as well, even though they might not have read it.
I respect Nintendo for doing their own thing.
That's kind of, you know, paranoid, but it's a huge company, so...
Oh, of course it is,
Yeah, it's a huge company. Come on, it's Nintendo. They really need to be that afraid. It's fucking Nintendo. They may be the company that made the most inventive stuff in gaming in at least the first half of the 90s.
And still
get lawsuits. Didn't they get lawsuited over the...
Wii U.
There's also the
3D technology. That guy who was going after everyone who invented 3D technology, basically.
I vaguely recall that the Wii Remote also had a lawsuit put against it for the gyroscopes and stuff inside. So.
I don't remember that, but quite possibly.
It wouldn't surprise me. Sarariman mentality.
Remember Bob's game?
Yeah.
Bob's game.
I looked at the website for that recently. He's invented his own console.
Oh god, Bob's game. I wish we had people
like Bob today. You know, that we need more Bobs. Like, Phil Fish is an asshole, but he's not funny like Bob was. I still remember that video of him like wandering around with like goth things and like a trench coat and maybe a fedora, and he like hired prostitutes to giggle at everything he said.
So he was a hipster before hipsters were a thing.
He was amazing.
Good gracious.
What? Went on a hunger strike because Nintendo would not publish his game.
He went insane and smashed up his like desk and everything.
Bob was like computer. He was like the Sonichu of game developers. God.
I don't actually sense that any further.
Chris Chan would never go on a hunger strike. He's way too fat.
Oh boy, it's personal now.
No,
I'm sure everyone else is going on a
hunger strike
because he eat all their food.
Exactly.
I'm sure Chris Chan is going to call me out and like shoot a photo of me with his gun, like he did with that other guy.
No, Chris Chan's got his life back on track now.
Oh yeah, he's a transsexual now. Actually.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Are we still talking about video games?
Back on track, alright.
Video games.
Okay.
Well, not transsexual, he's a cross-dresser at least, I don't know.
And if also someone actually makes a Sonichu game.
I'm sure someone's made a Flash game or something similar already, there must be.
Somebody pretended to be Reggie, contacted Chris, and he totally believed it, and he totally believed that Nintendo wanted to make a Sonichu video game.
That's just mean. See, that's just cruel.
Yeah.
That's a bit mean.
There's been some assholes that have been messing with Christian, man.
You should look on him from a distance and admire. You shouldn't interfere.
Exactly.
You know.
I don't even know if admire is...
You ruin the integrity of all the scientific results when you do that kind of thing.
Admire is not the word. Video games, yes.
Video games.
Mm-hmm. Like Insomniac Games response, fused criticism.
Oh boy.
Ooh.
Back to this fucking game now. They said, Ryan Schneider, second cousin to Rob Schneider, a great actor.
Thanks.
Head of marketing for Insomniac Games explains that decision in a sit-down interview with News 10's Game Guys. In the early stages of Overstrike, we had a game concept, but nothing about that game concept was unified, he explained. And as we pushed and progressed the concept, we realized that everything revolved around this alien substance called Fuse. So we wanted to reflect that in everything, including the name of the game. Schneider doesn't shy away from agreeing that feedback about the rebrand has been mixed at best. These mixed feelings towards the game extend far beyond just a simple dose of rebranding. In various corners of the internet, it seems there's negativity. In various corners of the internet, it seems that there's negativity breeding about the game itself, about some gamers going as far to saying as saying as Fuse sounds generic and has flop written all over it. Fuse is anything but generic, Schneider states. citing not only the game's leap mechanic and its echelon play mode, but they don't explain what that is. It doesn't tell me anything.
Leap mechanic means that you're going to be able jump. To jump at any time.
My god. Shit.
It's probably just going to be the biotic charge from Mass Effect.
I'd like to point out the last time we had a rebranding to a really generic name with ZE at the end, we got Haze, the PS3, made by the people that was at Free Radical.
Oh my god.
That started off with...
And Free Radical also had a great pedigree.
Yes.
Oh yeah. He says a lot more in the video, which is in the which is an article too. And he looks very, very shifty. Like, he doesn't really believe what he's saying. Which Aww. Is, you know, he's a marketing guy, so of course. He also uses the word visceral, which instantly makes me just not believe anything he's saying.
Oh, god damn it. There's it's nothing. Visceral. It's the new buzzword. It annoys me so much.
It means nothing. They're going to synergize their framework resource allowance properties and fuck God knows what else.
Framework is a real word.
Yes, it is. But not when mixed with resource or synergize.
Synergize is not a real word.
Unfortunately, it is.
Symbiotic is a word and means something quite similar. Synergize, fuck right off, mate.
Have you worked in an office recently, Kat?
No, and I hope to never work in an office.
Good luck.
I'm going down the academic route. Actually, no, that's a lie. I'm not going down the academic route.
Even if you go down the academic route, you'll probably end up working in an office.
Yeah, but none of the academics I know are full of shit.
Yet.
What do you mean, yet?
Yet.
It's gonna come. Trust Moogle. It's gonna come.
Trust me.
Overstrike looked like the first fucking shooter game that I've actually wanted to play to come out in years, and I was just like, no, let's not make it interesting in any way.
Yeah, now it's Grimdark. That's the problem, is that it's Grimdark. It's not that they've changed the name or particularly changed the gameplay.
They've changed the main characters here.
Is this not the Devil May Cry thing going on all over again, where they've made a change?
Certainly looks like it, anyway.
That aren't discernible to the buying public, and everyone's been told, yeah, it's absolutely fine, but then it comes out and everyone goes, well, we said this was going to happen, and people go, well, no, you didn't say this was going to happen. And everyone just gets butt mad over the fact that things get bad reviews. I don't know. Interesting to see what happens when it gets released, I guess.
You know what?
DMC, the fact DMC more than just the story. I mean, the game used to be, like, brutally punishing, and
maybe
then
like
they made
visceral?
It sort of easy.
Shut up.
You know what? You know what? I just fucking realized something. This is exactly like DMC. They made it worse, not only because more people will buy it, but because people who play video games, or, you know, people who are kind of into video games will be mad at it, and they will talk about it, and then we'll get more publicism for the game. That's totally why.
No,
they played us
it's
for fools.
Not Happy Man. No, you forget that DMC... Devil May Cry is the worst-selling DMC game so far.
Yeah, there is this as well.
Oh, all right.
Not all publicity is good publicity.
Even,
for example,
yeah.
Margaret Thatcher. If you say it again, it brings her back from the dead, so I don't want to, but you get the picture.
But no. It always amuses me that everyone and their dog were saying, yeah, this is going to be much better than DMC4, which was apparently slated in the journalist side of the critics slated it, and it's done far worse than that. I just go, yes, because Devil May Cry 4 was fantastic. Oh, and I laugh.
Journalists were wrong.
This is a great one coming up.
Clearly they weren't from Gather Your Party, the only source for unbiased
this
gaming
is,
journalism.
This is my last piece of news. I believe Katzman has a few after this, but Microsoft to reveal EA partnership at next Xbox event.
Fuck me.
Is this bad breakup syndrome from Nintendo? Like Nintendo are like, we don't want this bullshit anymore.
Don't Microsoft already have this thing with Activision where they get all of the Call of Duty DLC for like a month or two before anyone else gets it? Are they not trying to play all sides here? That is someone not going to come and say, hey, you're helping our competitors here. Don't know about it, boss. Don't know nothing. Incidentally, here's some more money. Give us some more stuff.
Let's reflect just a second. Who could they add still? I mean, Activision, EA, and Microsoft together making games. Who could be added to this beautiful team to make it even more like it is?
Rockstar. Rockstar.
No.
No.
They actually make some good games.
Take-Two are not a bullshit publisher. They don't stand for that sort of bullshit.
Exactly. So they could add that to their lineup to create
Capcom, but they're awesome... a Japanese company, so not very likely.
Yeah, exactly. But they could have Rockstar to get all of the DLC early that people actually care about, because people care about Call of Duty. They care about what games do EA make that people care about?
The FIFA stuff.
They care about the FIFA stuff and the Madden stuff. And they would have Rockstar, who make GTA, and they'd have all the GTA DLC early. So then they have their three main companies of people, the people that buy most things, most consoles and stuff would care about that.
But GTA DLC is more like expansion packs rather than just weapons.
If you could get that early as a console manufacturer, that would make it far more likely for the vast majority of the console buying population to get your
correct
stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure they did do that for GTA 4's DLC.
I think they might well have done. They might do so again, but it would be interesting to see if they formalise that relationship, because I don't think it was a formal thing before, was it? Where the whole company said, we're gonna be supporting Microsoft exclusively here.
This is going to be an exclusivity agreement, which means that EA will make games for exclusively Xbox, I guess, which Xbox fucking needs that, because after that whole always online thing, damn, they've caught some flack, man. They need they need exclusivity of the new Mass Effect or something. They'll get people to buy it.
Probably worth pointing out that the last time EA decided on an exclusivity deal, the Dreamcast died.
That's a little different, wasn't it? I mean,
I don't think that's what killed the Dreamcast. I think PlayStation 2 is what killed the Dreamcast.
Not just PlayStation 2,
also Shenmue.
Saturn and everything since, the Genesis, the Mega Drive. Sorry, I hear Americans too much, but, Dreamcast didn't die because of Dreamcast. Dreamcast was savagely slaughtered by Saturn and lots of Sega bullshit the PlayStations, yeah.
There were lots of factors, but it didn't help that EA decided not to make any games, including stuff like FIFA and co, that most of the game buying population would buy, I would suggest, also, most of the mainstream.
Shenmue was a huge financial loss for Sega. You could just pirate games freely on the Dreamcast. Yeah, there was no lock for it.
Clearly they should have put all their money on a single game of Lucky Hit, and they didn't, so...
Darts! Skyrim theme comes fifth in Classic FM's UK radio.
Oh.
So, Catsman, I think you got these ones from now on.
Yeah, this is one of mine. So, I'm kind of pissed about this, to be honest, because Skyrim's theme is kind of a generic sort of... It's not bad, don't get me wrong.
Isn't the Skyrim theme just the same as the Oblivion and Morrowind theme? Isn't it the same?
Yes.
No.
And it's just like the generic chanting and the soaring melody.
Please don't whistle. It sounds horrible, Mike. Please don't.
Oh, God. My ears. Anyway, can I talk for 3 seconds without being interrupted by Maboy?
Wait for it.
Or a
bell. No, you interrupted him. Shut up.
And yeah, I mean, it's not a bad piece of music. It's very fit for purpose. It's quite catchy. But it's not even classical. It's an orchestral score. There's a difference.
Yeah, people get classical mixed up with orchestral.
That is how little people care about classical music now.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, I don't profess to know a lot about classical music, because I am a very casual listener, but it disappoints me. I, as much as the next guy, want to see video game music being treated as the legitimate art form that it is, but this shit like this doesn't help. It just makes people out to be idiots.
Which do you think it was just a bunch of nerds voting it up, just like Worst Company in America? Or was it a vote thing?
I love Happy Man. Like, the minute anything happens, oh, it must have been a bunch of nerds. Fucking bunch of nerds. I bet the nerds did this.
I'm like Fox and Friends and terrorists. Same thing.
It's like conspiracy theorists and Jews, or like radical feminists and patriarchy.
If you call yourself an agenda,
no. If you call yourself a nerd, fuck you. Sorry.
Such a nerd, XD.
So what video game music do you think is up there and we should be pushing for polls like this to stand on its own against, like, you know, regular music?
Aerith's theme.
Bastion is the best.
It's funny you say that. Aerith's theme was actually one of the ones up there on the classic.
Oh my god, it was a joke.
Well. No. It was number one for a while as well.
Why?
Because people voted it.
Fuck these people.
Can I talk?
And in fairness, that's not actually a bad piece of music, but it probably is similar to what you're talking about before, where people have voted essentially the lowest common denominator of video game music because it's what they know and it's all they know about. And they're just told, vote for this, and so they vote for it.
I would say anything by the Fallen Brothers.
I would say the battle theme of Mr. Passion in Mother 3, because it is an actual medley of classical music.
Or Leader's Gymnopédie.
Gymnopédie,
otherwise known as Eric Satie, who is an amazing man who you should all go listen to.
That song's been a bunch of games and a very bad anime movie.
To answer that question, though, you'd really have to have some kind of definition as to what constitutes classical music.
I'm not talking about classical music, I'm just talking about music in general. Like, some video game music is just video game music, and it's not good listening on its own.
Mm.
But some video game music is proper music that stands on its own as a good piece of music, regardless of context.
You get a lot of that.
That's some good music.
You get a lot of that.
Councilman Zamark, can I please say something now?
No.
Please?
No.
No.
Okay. I'm just
keep talking
kidding.
So he has to interrupt you. Keep talking so he has to interrupt you.
Go on, Matt Boy.
Well, just my pick. I know my tastes are very, very shitty, very old, but Dancing Mad from Final Fantasy VI, the Kefka theme at the end of the game.
Mm.
And that you will not agree, several FF10 songs, particularly the Tidus theme.
Oh, I really disagree with that.
There isn't that much video game music that's that good to listen to by itself. I guess some Donkey Kong thing was good, but most of it... Oh yeah, the Gerudo theme in Zelda, but that's more like something to dance to. It's not it's not something great musically.
Well, the best flamenco song in a video game is from Final Fantasy IX, yeah.
Yes!
Can we stop talking about Final Fantasy things?
Out of 100
No, just
nobles.
Final Fantasy VIII.
Let me think. I'm still trying to think now. My mind's just gone blank.
No, Dancing Mad's a pretty good suggestion. This theme's pretty
was
badass.
Was the only one banned?
Well, a lot of things from Final Fantasy.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, because Nobuo Uematsu was real good. But there were some other games like... hold on, let me for a second. Cheetah
Man, man.
Wasn't just Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I like the monster theme.
I think a lot of the Trias stuff is really good.
Oh, yeah. It's also Square, but almost every single song, and particularly the town theme from Secret of Mana...
Mm.
Oh,
Secret of Mana's got some very nice themes.
It's got some very nice themes. The Lich boss at the end of the game, too, which is something you just imagine yourself fighting in the dark, you know, against some kind of great big evil. It's pretty damn good. It's very 90s, but it's pretty damn good. And
okay, three words.
Convinced.
Age of Mythology.
Everything.
Acceptable.
Everything from Ensemble Studios had good music.
You know, I like Diablo's two little acoustic arrangements. Those are some pretty mellow.
Yoko Shimomura is one of my favorite composers.
What did he do?
It's she. She did.
What did she do? Sorry. I don't know about all the Ching Chong names. I can't tell the difference.
They're all the same.
Anyway, what did she make?
How could I forget? Sam and Max. Sam and Max. I mean, just the... Well, not all Sam and Max, but just, you know, that sax. That fucking sax. You just have to remember it.
I don't actually, sorry.
Who did Streets of Rage? Who did Streets of Rage? Because Streets of Rage is one of those ones that always... I can remember most of the tracks from that game. Despite never having owned the game and only having played it around friends and such.
Metal Gear Solid, the best is yet to come. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
The best is yet to come, important. And so have I.
The time has come, and so have I.
Oh, no.
Have we mentioned Street Fighter yet?
It's got some good tracks in it.
What's the best Street Fighter song? I think Vega's theme is the best.
Vega is my personal favorite. Cammy is also acceptable.
I like Ken's
theme. I like Sankey's.
Ken's theme is the best.
Ken's theme literally does go with everything, though.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Dudley's theme in Street Fighter 4. Get on the dance flow.
Yeah, that's true.
Get on the dance flow. And, of course, Guile's theme.
Yeah.
Mm. Got a lot of memorable tunes, as most games from the early 90s seem to.
It's Capcom's music, guys, were just the best back then. Yeah. And Konami's, actually.
Konami's were very good.
Mega Man 2
Castlevania,
yes.
Mega Man 2 is the best music on the NES, hands down.
Mega Man 3 had better tracks.
I disagree.
Ultimate authority on Mega Man here, and Mega Man 2 is my least favorite. No, not my least favorite, but I don't like it as much as everyone else just because it's too popular.
Mega Man 2
can we call Dodson for a judgment on this? Because we need the king to make some sort of
I think X is the best Mega Man game, but I think 2 has the best music by far.
I think we should let Reinbach talk.
Bing.
Toast is done.
You said that in the perfect voice. Perfect
cheese
fat
toasties.
Voice.
Fat voice.
You're all welcome.
Ryan Bach, please talk about games.
I was going to say Mega Man 2 has more standout tracks, but 3 is better overall.
No, the gameplay in 3 wasn't very good.
I said music.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, speaking of good music and games we've recently played, Resident Evil, well, the earlier ones had some good, like...
The safe room. Yeah, the safe room. Are pretty good. Those are very...
You hear that, and you'll be like, oh, that's the little jingle from the safe room.
Very contextual, though.
Yeah, but like also just the use of the music too, like you know playing Resident Evil 2 and it's like, oh look, I'm just gonna walk into this room, grab something, and liquor just jump through a window, and it's like just the sudden crash and the music and everything, it scares the shit out of me.
There was an interview done for the official guide of Resident Evil 2 where they asked Mikami, I think it was, what theme they were going for with Resident Evil 2 sound design, and it was Desperation. And it's absolutely correct, because every single theme, including the safe room theme, which is essentially a room where you are completely isolated from all the enemies in the world, even that has a sort of desperate theme running underneath it.
Yeah. It's like it's really, really kind good. Of it's just like the little creepy little thing saying like, "Oh, you're safe for now, but just wait till you open that fucking door, buddy." Like, you know, and oh, fucking Resident Evil 3 was even worse because when you're getting chased by Nemesis, it's like, you know, you're in there and you're safe, and all of a sudden it's like he's right out there. I fucking know it. And then that fucking music plays while he's chasing you, and it is fucking creepy.
And he chases you through doors, which is just not allowed. That's not allowed.
Not allowed, Nemesis. What the fuck? Stay in your own little area.
We should probably move on, because this music segment's been going on for a while, but I thought of Cave Story. The fact that Cave Story's music was written by a single guy who knows nothing about music theory.
That's pretty impressive. He was just a programmer. Nothing about music, nothing about art, nothing about game design. In comes this game with pretty much flawless... like gameplay and a decent story and good art and catchy ass music.
And he doesn't tell all of his prospective customers to suck his dick and to choke on it. So
yeah, exactly.
That's always encouraging.
Yeah, I bet you
Phil Fish
asked
had a Twitter meltdown recently. Oh, it's funny. He was like, I should probably get off Twitter. And so I'm using the GLA Twitter to tweet to people now. And so I said, I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you. I didn't get a response.
What else was there? Guy that makes Touhou games. Shooters.
Soon.
His music sounds pretty good. Zun. His music is...
Yeah, he makes great music.
It's pretty consistent, which is what I like, in that you know what you're getting with it, and it's always there's a theme running through it.
I'm not a huge Touhou fan, but that dude makes some grooving tunes.
He does, doesn't he?
A lot of his melodies are just ripped from classical music.
It's kind
of
weak.
Yeah, well...
It's decent, but it's kind of weak to me. I don't know. Touhou makes decent stuff, but it's kind of weak. Like, there's 2-3 themes that I really remember. It's more like something you'll hum. It's not really great music to me.
Oh, yeah, this
great music doesn't have to be music you'll hum.
Usually, when I'm looking for best tunes, I'm not thinking, you know, the most pleasant one, because if that's it, like, the most basic tune will do. It's the most complex ones. That's what makes it keeping interesting. In that regard, by the way, I don't know if it was Happy or you who said it, Kaz, but yeah, the Skyrim / Oblivion / Morrowind theme is kind of, I won't say shit, but it's kind of
weak.
It's
not bad, but it's just, it's, I don't know, it's not interesting to me.
Jeremy's also a good composer, but I don't know.
What really kills me actually to it, what really kills me to this tune is that it's got just one rhythm. Like, you hear every single song, video game or not, there's always 2 rhythms. Like, you hear any kind of band, unless they're really, really bad, you won't have the guitar and the drums and the bass give you the same rhythm. If they're anything good, they'll give you different rhythms. And this song doesn't. It's like one rhythm.
Video game
is not 2 different things.
Video game music can't all be prog rock, though. I mean...
I'm not changing. I'm not saying changing rhythms. I'm saying you have the bass in a certain rhythm, and you'll have the music that'll go faster or slower depending on the situations. That's how you do it. That's how you make this effect where you've got the impression of speed or strength or slowness to music. Usually, a good thing to do, for example, is it's not by making a slow pace, but you make a slow music. You make let's say normal pace of bass, and you make very slow guitar or flute or whatever over. That's what gives you the impression of slow. And the impression of speed is the inverse.
I'm not sure I understand. But,
that's music theory, though.
I'm not sure if I can put this in words.
Alright, let's just move on. This segment's been going on for quite a while now.
It's an interesting topic, though. But
yeah, we should.
On.
I think we should do a longer segment sometime about video game music. Although we pretty much already did, but like, I don't know, specific topics on it or something. Anyway.
I might just drop up, sorry.
Does anyone want to hear any more of my news?
Well, you had
what else was
good
that?
Ones. I think he's got, well...
Let's talk about Game Dev Tycoon. Game Dev Tycoon is like a PC game the dev was all like, oh well, I'm gonna do this thing where I put this thing in where if people play a pirate version of the game, then their game in the game doesn't sell very well because of piracy, and people are gonna be all like, ooh, that's so clever and cool, when it's not. And so people pirated the game, came up with this message, and some like journalism sites reported on it, and the dev was all like, oh, aren't I so clever, that's so meta, piracy and all. And throughout the whole discussion, nobody, and I mean nobody, mentioned the fact that he stole the entire concept of the game from Kairosoft.
Does he work for Gameloft?
Or Zynga?
No,
surprisingly.
Something similar?
Zangia, I believe, is the word you're searching for. Zangia.
Yuck. Yuck. Bad taste in my mouth for hearing that. Yuck.
So yeah, I just think it's ironic that he gets so butt mad about people stealing his game, but the whole game itself is stolen.
How similar are they? I've never played either of them. I know that the concept is obviously quite similar in that you're...
In terms of like
developer.
Interface and
like
game
that.
Screen and stuff, it's basically a carbon copy.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. But I can sort of understand when you've got 2 very similar concepts in the game, because that happens very, very often. But, yeah. Okay.
So wait, who did he steal it from?
Kairosoft. They made a game called Game Dev Story, and they make loads of games like that for iOS and stuff
I have one of their games, actually, yeah.
Like Train Story or whatever. And in like Germany, you might get like Train Simulator, which is like an ultra-realistic train simulator with gritty train visuals and European music playing in the background. But, you know, in Japan, you get some sort of cutesy, slightly over-the-top thing.
Oh, Go By Train. That's a good game.
By Train. Arino loves it, so it must be good.
Yeah.
On that note, dude, after this, of course, is the post podcast GCC stream. So.
Go by Train is one of the best Game Center CX episodes. If you haven't seen that, if you're into Game Center CX by any margin, please go watch Go By Train, because that's a great episode.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that yet. I've been watching a lot of GCCX lately.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to not watch it so that I can watch episodes fresh when I stream them for the GLA, but. It's kind of difficult.
You've done the Parappa episode, I'm assuming.
The what, sorry?
Parappa the Rapper.
Parappa, I've seen the Parappa the Rapper episode.
Dude, that episode is also one of the greatest ones.
That is
ones.
A good episode.
God, I love
They're
it.
They're all Rinoppa. Good. Let's be honest. There is no bad episode of Game Center CX. But we should probably get back to the topic, which is sensible.
No, the topic wasn't really anything interesting. I'm just annoyed.
You got fucking DS production.
What are people's
DS
favorite...
production.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, DS production has stopped. Total sales clocked in 153.87 million.
That's pretty dash gone good.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
man.
Sure it sold more than the original NES. It's a lot. It's
it went on for 10 years. That's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
Came out in... No, what? Even...
Maybe
I think it like
years.
11 years, right?
It started in 2004, didn't it?
Oh, so almost almost 10 years.
It went on for a fucking very long time. And
that's pretty good, considering how long like Game Boy did.
I still
what, like 3
have...
years?
No, wait, Game Boy was 1989 and Game Boy Color came out
in 1989.
Yeah, Game Boy Color was ages. Nintendo's handhelds are normally quite long-lasting. But yeah, the DS, amazing console. I still own one and play Trackmania on it regularly. Fucking excellent. Does anyone have any favorite DS games that they'd like to mention?
I would like to go first. Let's just go down the line.
Why not?
I'm going to say Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney.
Phoenix Wright?
That game is fucking awesome. I've been replaying it, actually, recently. And I didn't know that the DS was being cut out of production. But I was playing through that game again, because it's been a long time. And that game is great. I don't know what else to say about it, really. It's got some of the best characters in video. At least in, like, adventure game video. And there's a lot of good characters in those, but... I really like the nerd character in episode 3. Like, this game came out in 2001, like, when it was being made the first time. And they... For, like, 2001, when the, you know, internet and, like, nerd culture wasn't huge, they made, like, the most disgusting nerd character in the world. Like, he talks in all leet speak, and he drools over Maya... He's great, man. I like the character. Also, I wasn't... But anyway, if you haven't played Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, it is a... And if you're into adventure games, you should definitely play that game.
Adventure games aren't dead, yay.
Not yet.
Didn't they make a second Edgeworth game that didn't come out here?
Yeah, Capcom are doing that a lot.
That's a shame. I really liked the first Edgeworth game. I think that was a good game. They made a lot of spin-offs of that, of fucking Phoenix Wright, but... They're generally pretty good quality, too, even though they're spin-offs.
All right, I'm going to make a confession. I didn't own a DS. It was just one of those things where, I don't know, handheld games haven't been a big, huge thing for me, and I wasn't going to spend $150, $200 on a handheld, but it is something that... I do have a backlog now, and I'll probably end up just emulating it sometime in the future. There are
It emulates very well, I would say. So I mean, it's worth trying.
It's not that I hated the DS or just didn't like it or anything. It's just one of those things that just kind of passed by for me.
I suppose it's me now. I would have to say there are probably two. Layton is very good. I'm a big fan of Professor Layton games.
Oh yeah,
so,
that game
yeah.
rules.
And I'd also have to say, depending on which version you bought, Elite Beat Agents or or the Japanese version. I never played Elite Beat Agents. I had the Japanese one, which is Osu Tatakai Uendan, or however you're supposed to pronounce it. And that is outstanding also.
The best one is Uendan 2. That is the best game.
I never played
Elite Beat Agents. Is a pretty good game too.
But yeah, those are just... That was the first game that I had for it that really sort of used the touchscreen elements really well. And it was a while before I found anything that even was remotely interesting on the DS after that, because it was all pretty poor, I thought, for quite a while, but then it sort of picked up.
I played the shit out of Elite Beat Agents. I actually S-ranked everything.
Oh, well done.
At that game. I'm not sure I'm as good at it now, but... Fucking love that game. Also, I did the same with Uendan 2. I'm just a sucker for those games. If you like the first Uendan, you should definitely play Uendan 2 because it's so good, man. So
rhythm
good.
And music games are my favorite handheld games, I would suggest. Theat Rhythm Final Fantasy on the 3DS is... until Monster Hunter came out, it was in my 3DS pretty much constantly. Purely because I love the genre just that much. I think it's one of the best ways you can use the handheld machines for that kind of thing. So... But yeah, fun times. Bye-bye, DS, you will be missed.
Well, especially because I still don't like the 3DS.
And you don't?
I want to replace my DS with
any particular
3D.
Reason you don't like the 3DS?
It's because I really hate 3D.
You don't have to use 3D, though.
I really hate, buying a system. The whole point of it is, 3D.
I don't think it is. I'm going to be honest.
And
I don't think
No, everyone I know now, pretty much, turns the 3D off so that they can play it.
I can't play Monster Hunter with it on.
I might see if I can't buy it if they start making ones without 3D in it.
Why would you buy it... I don't understand that concept. Is it because you want to send the message that you don't like 3D?
Yes.
Particularly? Yeah. Okay, I can sort of understand that.
So 3D is just an excuse for people who make technology to rip us off.
I'm not sure it is in this case. It strikes me as just it's an upgraded DS with better processing power. That's what it is to me for the most part. And most of the games so far have reflected that. I think there are some good uses of 3D. I think Monster Hunter in 3D is pretty spectacular. I think Nintendo First Party stuff that uses a 3D is pretty damn good. But I don't think the focus of it, despite the name being 3DS, I don't think that's really the focus of the console. I think they just recognized that they needed to upgrade the graphics capabilities of the DS because it was really lagging behind, and it really was lagging behind. And so they did. So
Nintendo could have called it the Super DS.
They could have called it the Super DS.
But they
could
have called it great. Are you kidding me? Super DS and Super Wii?
Yeah.
On the other hand, you then call it the SDS, and that probably, I don't know.
Oh, that's a good acronym. I don't mind that.
But yeah, I kind of don't think that it's the 3D is the main focus of it, despite all of the PR that Nintendo did at the start of it, as you'd expect they would have to do around how good the 3D is. And I don't mind the 3D. I think it's pretty good, and it's a bit situational when I would choose to use it or not, because it's a big drain on the battery when you use it, and if you don't use it, depending on the game, some games look worse if you don't have 3D on. But once... It's because basically you're rendering the same image twice and you're putting the pixels closer together. But if you turn the 3D off on some games, there's a toggle specifically so that it renders at the proper resolution, so it doesn't look at all really pixelated, which is a lot better in more recent games. But I have no issues with the 3DS. I bought one pretty much almost close to release, I think it was, and I don't think I've regretted it since. But then again, I do have a 4-hour commute each day, so it kind of makes sense for me.
And the biggest problem with the 3D on the 3DS is when I'm playing a handheld game, I want to be comfortable while I'm playing it.
Yes.
And with the 3D on 3DS, you have to have it in the right spot,
yes,
the right angle, or else it looks bad.
Do you have an XL or do you have a standard 3DS?
I have a standard 3DS.
It's not that there's any excuse for it being poor on the default 3DS, but the problem is very much less of a problem on the XL.
The XL is also... comfy as fucking your hands.
It's comfy. Although I will say, I have the I have it in front of me as well. I'm holding it now. The CirclePad Pro for the XL. And if you've had an XL, you know it's a pretty bulky machine. I feel like it weighs as light as a feather, and it's really, really thin when I take it out of the dock. So there's that as well. Because this thing is ugly as sin. The docking thing. The CirclePad. disgusting, but I like it because it's comfy. It's even comfier.
Comfy's also good. I guess I didn't really think about it before, but like the analog stick and the 3D, like the DS had a lot of good sprite based games.
Yes.
And I kind of think with the 3DS, like, it's probably got to be in 3D now. Like, this is pretty much the end of all those glorious sprite games.
I kind of agree, but I kind of don't, because I have things like Theat Rhythm, in which there's quite a lot of it is sprite based.
What about Mighty Switch Force?
There's still quite a lot of decent sprite-based stuff going on. Let me see if I can find you some sprites from this game. That's a very
Soul
bad
thing. Soul Hackers is an old game, but that's sprite-based.
The new SMT game on there is sprite-based.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So you got stuff like this, Cats, which is... This is pretty much what it looks like on the console.
It looks pretty good, and the music is fucking catchy as hell.
That's because it's Jake Kaufman.
Yeah, boy. But yeah, it's a pretty solid game.
Yeah, I don't think I've regretted my 3DS purchase once. Maybe at the very start of having it when there weren't that many games out for it. But since then, it's been gold. And of course, it runs DS games, so win ultimately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the end of the little segment. Farewell.
Bye, DS. Miss you.
But all our favorite DS games are getting up.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
I'm just going to quickly fire off a few games. The World Ends With You, 999, Four Heroes of Light, Radiant Historia, Etrian Odyssey, Darkspire, and the Shin Megami Tensei games. That's all.
Does nobody like Rune Factory?
Didn't play.
I like Rune Factory.
I didn't play it either. Sorry.
Rune Factory, I've played which one is it on the DS? Free? They're all on the free. They're on the DS, right?
They're all on the DS.
I think I played the free. That game's kind of funny.
I have the first two. I don't know. I've always liked, Harvest Moon, and then it's sort of like, hey, here's Harvest Moon with swords and shit, so. Well, I thought it was cool. It kind
what else
of,
was there on the DS?
I like
my DS library was really small, I'll be honest with you.
I like the Rune Factory 3. There's a dude who's a fisherman, and he's like trying to get you to hook up with his sister or whatever, but it sounds like he's being gay with you. It's great.
Rune Clone, bro.
There was Metro Prime Hunters as well, which I thought was appalling, but that's just me, I think. Not many people share that opinion with me. So.
There's a Harvest Moon coming out for 3DS, isn't there?
They haven't said anything about what the next Metroid game is, to my knowledge. But if that is something that they've done...
I said Harvest Moon.
Oh, Harvest Moon, I was going to say. I heard Metroid, I was like, what? I heard Prime, what?
There is a Harvest Moon already on the 3DS, I think. And Rune Factory 4 is coming out this summer.
The one on the 3DS was also on the DS, though, wasn't it?
Was it? Oh, I thought it was a totally
different
game.
Like a remake,
game.
Is it? Or a re-release?
I thought it was a totally different game.
They just put it on both, and like the 3D has widescreen or whatever. I'm pretty sure I heard something about it in one.
But speaking of another Metroid, I bet I am willing to put money on this, but the new Metroid will be called Metroid Other M.
clever. That's
Yoshio Sakamoto's lost it, man. He's gone off his rocker.
What a shame.
Or they just let him do whatever he wants. One of those.
I don't really mind what they do with it now. I mean, the old games aren't going to change. I can still play them, and they're still going to be as good as they ever
been. That's such a defeatist attitude.
No, I think the alternative is to just say, oh, the new games, they ruin everything I've ever loved about these games. I hate life. And I just don't understand that.
Yeah,
I hear Other M is acceptable if you just don't watch any of the cutscenes.
No, I disagree. I don't think the gameplay's that good either.
It's okay. Like, I heard that's about as far as I would go.
It's not like other Metroid games, but like it's just gameplay, it's okay.
As a game taken on its own, which I don't think makes any sense because you're always going to compare things to other things. I think it's all right. I don't think there's a great deal in the way of exploration that's meaningful. There's little to no sequence breaking to my knowledge, which is what I really like personally about Metroid. But it's all right. The combat is... They did what they could with a Wii Remote, which was not
a
lot.
I think the worst thing that they did was choose their control scheme. Yeah. Like, they limited themselves to a D-pad and two buttons.
The mechanic of pointing the Wii Remote at the screen to fire missiles is very ill-judged. That was my opinion.
I kind of agree with Moogle's attitude, because without it, you're never going to be able to pay attention to game news at all without being pissed constantly. It's like, you know, I guess I say fuck this game a lot and get mad at games, but really, it's pretty
much the number one source of that, I dare say.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, I haven't even played Planescape Torment yet. Why can't I just go do that instead of complaining about Dragon Age 3 when that comes out? Well, I don't even give a fuck about that.
You should go back and play it. If you like the original so much, go back and play it. I have no major issue with people making new games when they're not the same, or if they're worse, or whatever, because I've still got the things that matter, which is stuff I played before.
Well,
I really
it's also
liked.
Like, it, we can complain about these games, but really, the games the way they are now is pretty much irreversible. They're never going to get better. Mm. The company's won.
Now that is definitely a defeat.
That's a defeat, dude, I think.
The man owns us all.
Yeah.
What about and Papers, video games Please, will always Happy be Man? Terrible. Does the man own Papers, Please?
Unless you're Pixel, in which case you can...
Yeah, the man does not own Pixel.
Games.
The man owns Cave Story, though, because Nick Howell...
Yeah, he does own Cave Story, but he will never take Pixel.
But Pixel took all of the money.
No, he didn't.
He didn't get
a lot of money from it.
The man always gets the money.
No, Nick Hallis got most of the money.
Oh, that's a shame. Did he make some money from it, at least, though?
I think so.
That's all right, then. That's all right, then.
Anyway, as much as we complain about games, there would always be... For every one of us that complains about games, there's 100 people buying
who actually like video
the new
games.
Dragon Age DLC or whatever. So.
And they can have that if they want. Just go do different things.
Stop having fun with things
I
don't like.
I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where there is going to be no game that you enjoy. I don't think we'll ever get there, because more people than ever are making games for more and more different types of people, and I think there's always going to be something you're going to enjoy out there. It's just you might have to look harder for it. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Almost all of the big series you used to enjoy are gone. They're gone forever. Some Nintendo titles are still alright, but that's about it.
You can almost always rely on Japan.
Yeah. Japan is not as bullshit as Americans companies, but, you know.
I think Phil Fish's
like Capcom,
opinion is
so they're kind of
much.
Bullshit too.
Yeah, Capcom have died. Although that said, if considering how badly they've done and what they've said about less quality than they anticipated,
there was an earning report and they were like, "Well, it turns out outsourcing all our games, like Keiji Inafune said, was a fucking stupid idea."
Yeah, because that really worked so badly for Metroid.
Nintendo did it fine. Nintendo did it for Luigi's Mansion 2, and no one even noticed, because Luigi's Mansion 2 didn't suck.
F-Zero. Which was made in Canada, motherfuckers.
Yep. F-Zero GX was not made by Nintendo, and most people don't realize this. It was made by Sega, by the team that did Super Monkey Ball.
It was made by Sega?
It was made by...
That's crazy.
It was made not only by the people that did Super Monkey Ball, but in the Super Monkey Ball engine.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
Oh, yes.
You know, there should have been in there somewhere. There should have been a secret Super Monkey Ball eraser
character. There are references to Super Monkey Ball and F-Zero GX. If you look for them.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. They're all in there. But yeah, it was a fantastic outsource, and they did it all the time in the GameCube era, and it worked absolutely perfectly.
What game do you think was better, Metroid Prime or Super Metroid?
Oh,
I'm a sucker for 2D platformers, but that doesn't mean I'm knocking Metroid Prime.
I would suggest that I like Super Metroid more because I have better memories associated with it, but I would say that I think Metroid Prime is probably the better game overall. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah, Metroid Prime's a great game, man, but I don't know.
Metroid Prime, I think, it pretty much nailed atmosphere, it nailed... music, it nailed the action.
There are so many things that Super Metroid did that Half-Life is remembered for.
I know, and it's...
Half-Life gets all the praise, and virtually everything that Half-Life did, Super Metroid did better and earlier.
Yeah, the only thing that it didn't do, Super Metroid, was, like, talking and scenes like that, which
I have a comparison
Super
to
Metroid
that.
Doesn't have.
People praised Shadow of the Colossus for being so original, having only bosses. But you know what game did that first? Mike Tyson Punch-Out.
I knew it was going to be something like that.
I missed that. What was it?
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
The original Shadow of the Colossus.
What a game.
Well, the guys are all way bigger than you, so it's kind of like that, too.
But yeah, I prefer to play Super Metroid. In fact, I prefer to play Metroid Zero Mission because I think it's probably even better. But Metroid Prime basically just nailed getting 3D exploration and combat on the first attempt. And
Was it the first attempt? It was the first one that they released. Yeah, there was no N64 Metroid.
They went through quite a few iterations.
Yeah, Retro had been doing like a third-person thing.
And they didn't release it, though, so technically they got it right on the first attempt that they released.
Yeah.
I mean, Zelda got the whole Zelda... Ocarina of Time got the whole Zelda thing correct on the first attempt, essentially. Yeah. But that was because they went through lots of iterations and they delayed the release by, like, 2.5 years or something stupid. And there's actually nice little interesting interviews that they've had about what was different initially about Ocarina of Time. And there was no overworld. You were in Ganon's palace from the start, and it was basically Mario 64 in that you would access different like dungeons and challenges through that hub world, and you would just go through like a painting or something or a portal of some description and find yourself in a dungeon. And the way that that changed between release and the initial alphas and betas that they did, it must have been just absolutely gigantic, absolutely huge. But because they released it as it was, they got it right on the first attempt. Same as Mario 64. Nintendo do such...
Yeah, Mario 64 had been in development since the chip that Argonaut Software made for the SNES that let it display polygons.
Exactly.
That's how long they'd been going with that.
It's Nintendo have a really, really good thing that they do, where they iterate and they iterate and they iterate until they've got it absolute perfect, and they're not willing to release until they get there. I can't think of many games that Nintendo first party have released outside of possibly Metroid Other M where they've done that. But
yeah, they have the philosophy of wanting to get it right instead of just pushing it out.
Yeah. A bad game is bad forever, but you can delay the release of a game until it's good. That's what Miyamoto said.
He also said like girls are kind of like cats. If they come up and talk to you, it's great, but if you go over to them, it doesn't always go so well.
Yeah. Miyamoto's got such a lot of good quotes, it's not even funny. What was it he said when asked about Donkey Kong Country, and he says, it has nice graphics, and that was it. Because he wasn't willing to badmouth the gameplay or anything, but he didn't like it at all. So,
no.
So I quite like that. That's cute. He's always had the best interview responses. But yeah, it's interesting the difference in design philosophies and how they get things right really, really quickly. And we've really veered off the topic of which Metroid is best. So
yeah, but we've actually been talking about video games.
I know, it's rare. it doesn't happen very often. But on the other hand, Nintendo, they strike lightning the first time and then they struggle to find it again, which is one of the other things, because they did Mario 64 and they got it, we're perfect. Then we had to wait for Mario Galaxy for them to do it again. And
you're going to get some flack for that. I know a lot of people who love Mario Sunshine.
I love Mario Sunshine, do not get me wrong, but it is not as good, in my opinion, as Mario 64. In terms of them capturing just the sheer joy of playing around with the game systems, I ran around the castle in Mario 64 for hours just messing around and mucking about, seeing what I could do. I did not get that same vibe. Maybe it's because I'd grown up a bit more, perhaps, with Mario Sunshine. I'm not sure, but it took them a while, and they didn't hit Ocarina. They haven't hit Ocarina of Time quality, in my opinion, at least. Again, Majora's Mask is a different type of quality, is my opinion. It's not
conventional Zelda.
Conventional Zelda, but it is a much better story. It has a much better atmosphere. It has much better a world, I guess, than all the others.
But if you want Ocarina of Time again, then look no further than Twilight Princess.
Dude,
yeah,
I gotta
exactly.
say.
And they didn't. It wasn't as good as Ocarina of Time. Ultimately.
Yes, it was.
Dude,
everything that
so?
People liked about Ocarina of Time was in Twilight
not
Princess.
Convinced. I'm not convinced about that.
I love Twilight Princess. Personally.
I like Twilight Princess. I like all the Zeldas, pretty much. I don't think I've played a Zelda
you like
game
Zelda 2 Adventure Link?
Dislike. I haven't played it for any length of
time. Like that game.
I tried
Fuck
to
you.
Love that game. I tried for hours on end playing it on emulator, and I just couldn't. I just couldn't love it.
I beat
I'm
that
sorry.
Game. Yeah.
Happy Man's Mark of Pride.
Yeah, that's a hard game, let me tell you.
It's hard,
That is a difficult game.
It's challenging.
I have a cartridge of it.
Has anyone here actually... Oh, wow.
I have a cartridge of Dr. Mario that beats your cartridge.
I haven't got any NES cartridges. I do have the Game Boy version of DuckTales.
I have a whole stack of NES cartridges and no NES to play them on because it fucking broke, and I ordered one off eBay and it arrived and it was broken and
you
the person refused to refund me.
You should buy that that clone system when it comes out. What is it, the Retro?
They never come to the UK.
You can import them.
I have five NES cards.
You can always import these things.
I got,
yeah, but so is buying stuff off eBay and whatever.
You got
punched
out,
money.
Don't you, happy
yeah,
man?
I do. I have a Super Mario Bros. Duck Hunt, Super Mario Bros. 3, Ghosts and Goblins, Punch Out, and Shadow Warriors, which is Ninja Gaiden, but they couldn't call it Ninja Gaiden because in Europe in the 80s you couldn't say ninja in anywhere.
Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. Despite the fact that ninja swords are not ninja swords at all.
Fucking Europe, what are you like?
Fucking Europe. Europa.
Why were ninjas illegal?
Because
of katanas and stuff being involved in crimes and such. It was horrible.
Yeah, ninja crime rings, I remember them well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja, but for real.
Yeah.
The president of France got kidnapped by ninjas.
Now, I have Bad Dudes. What was it called? Was it just called Dragon Ninja over here?
It might have been. The arcade version was called Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja. The NES version was just called Bad Dudes.
I think it might have a totally different name. I definitely have a cartridge of it. It's a shit game, by the way.
Yeah, that game is not good. The best part about Bad Dudes is when you beat a level and the guy says in really broken NES voice, "I'm bad." It sounds terrible.
Any attempt at speech on the NES is fantastic.
On the
Any
Genesis,
attempt.
Though, it was even better. Because Altered Beast. Wise from your grave.
Wise from your grave.
What about Sinistar? Sinistar,
oh, yeah, Sinistar
is the best.
Oh, Sinistar's fantastic, though.
I live.
I have, on the SNES, I have the Midway Arcade Classics compilation, which has such classics as Sinistar, Joust, Defender, Missile Command, and Robotron 2084, all of which are fantastic.
Not Mortal
games.
Kombat?
That's not
the
Mortal
only
Kombat,
Midway
no.
game I know.
I do have Mortal Kombat as well. It was
released
by Midway.
There are loads
Midway,
of good
but...
Midway arcade games before Mortal Kombat.
Okay, well, I didn't know about any of them.
Well, like,
but yeah, all
of those ones that...
all of those five on one cartridge, and it's such a good cartridge to have.
All those ones
all
that you just
fantastic.
Named
them.
Yeah, amazing.
They're fantastic games. This is one of the reasons people I know complain about games being too simple and not really having the depth or the complexity to engage them. I grew up with that cartridge, and I played it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and I'm completely ambivalent. People say, "Oh, there's not enough to do." And
yeah, I like simplicity.
And is what you've
okay.
got engaging enough? When
I'll say
games.
Again, Tetris is one of the best examples of game design ever, and
Tetris
it's so incredibly simple, but it's so simple and it's so elegant.
Yes.
That's what makes it so brilliant.
Tetris is probably the best game in terms of design and everything. It's probably the best
in terms
anything.
Of just pure
it's probably
design.
The best game. Because it's a game. It's a pure game.
Yeah,
and
it's 100% game
it.
Experience.
Dude,
no bullshit.
How
There's
high...
nothing else to it.
Did you guys ever get to the ending of Tetris?
No.
No.
My mother did.
My mom did too. Moms are pro at Tetris, man.
They are. They just are. They're just better. You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, and when my mom got to the fucking rocket launch ending, I was so hyped. I was like, whoa! It was great.
Whoa! Anyone ever play Columns? Because that's another very similar thing. Not
Didn't
quite
like
as elegant,
as
but still very good. I have a Game Gear with Columns, and it's...
Oh. And Sega re-release it everywhere. Like, Columns is on Steam.
Columns is fantastic. If you've not played Columns properly, I'd suggest you go back and try it again. Because it's basically Bejeweled, but with Tetris involved. And it's... People love Bejeweled, people love Tetris. What's not to like?
Yes, I had the PSP version of the Sega Mega Drive collection, so I could have the PSP version of Columns.
By the way, I'll just probably point out that the small thing I've been doing, for the duration of this podcast, I have been playing Bejeweled 3 while talking. So it's like,
casual.
Yeah, I just play Bejeweled.
You dirty casual.
Bejeweled is
I
fantastic.
I love Bejeweled.
Bejeweled is fantastic.
It's one of the best time wasters ever.
It is. This is why I'm playing it now, because I've got to do something. Can't concentrate on the podcast, got to play video games.
You're such a woman moogle.
Play video games. Got to play video games.
That's why I love Dr. Mario so much. It's a great zone-out game, and you just play the game.
I have a separate Steam category in my library called Time Wasters. But there's things like Bejeweled, there's Lumines, there's FTL is in there. It's just things I want to play something for 5 or 10 minutes and then stop. Do this, fine.
Yeah.
And that's why games like Tetris are probably the best in the world, because
in the world,
in the world.
You never go on with that. I think you just don't know what comes after.
What, in the world?
Yeah.
You not know like what that references?
I hear it all the time in trailers, but I don't know what comes after. In a world where something.
Oh, no, I see what you mean. Okay,
and I can never see an example.
That.
It's British culture, mate.
We're referencing Jeremy Clarkson on Top Gear, who says this is the best thing in the world.
Oh, I know about that. I know about Top Gear.
That's
but
what
I thought you were talking about movie trailers.
No, that's in a world as opposed to in the world.
Oh, I see.
Off topic.
Let's keep talking about
it
Top Gear.
It had to happen.
Can we get a ding?
Eventually.
Oh, there's no ding anymore.
Does anyone want to hear any
British
more news? Or
shit
yeah, Catsman, you still have news.
Is there more news?
I have news, but if you want, I can just end it all.
Oh, we could end it all and go and watch Game Center CX. That is the thing that we could do.
To the next episode, I don't know.
No, Fez on Steam, please.
One more thing. I don't want to talk about Fez on Steam.
Can we not?
Fez
on Steam, dude's a douchebag, and he looks like a fucking greasy hobo.
If we're
going to
talk about Fez, can we talk about it before the end, so we don't end on that note, because that would be a horrible place to end if we
anyway,
talk about it.
Anyway, fuck Fez, fuck Phil Fish. I hope he responds to my tweets.
I hate him, I hope he talks.
I want to talk about the Oculus Rift, because there was this video. There's a video that came out of a chappie standing on like a rotating treadmill type thing, playing Team Fortress 2. And basically, when he runs on the treadmill thing, the character runs in the game.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
and it's
tricky.
Like totally like 100% 3D immersion right there.
Is there a shotgun placed in front of him so when he gets shot?
he dies in the game. He
well, good, because then there's going to be
it's
no.
It's a hell of a motivator, isn't it?
No.
Well, be a sniper, be a useless piece of shit. That's what you want to do.
Can you still rocket jump on this treadmill?
Oof.
He doesn't appear to be playing the game very well, but maybe it's just because he's freaked out.
I would be.
I'd be weirded out.
I think on a level from one to tripping balls, I'd be tripping some fucking balls.
Yeah. But no, like, suddenly, like, running to the first capture point looks like really strenuous exercise.
Imagine this is never going to catch on, because
people in video games having to fucking stop and catch their breath in real life.
That'd be fantastic.
Fantastic. Make a generation of fat kids fit again.
In Dragon's Dogma, you have to stop and catch your breath.
And suddenly we'll get a lot more health. There you go.
Dragon's Dogma.
You have to stop and catch your breath, but it's after just sprinting like Usain Bolt for like 30 seconds. And that's pretty impressive. Can you give me a fat dude or like a kid and do that still?
Yeah.
Your guy in Dragon's Dogma is fucking fast, man. It's
ridiculous.
But yeah, how many people here are actually interested in purchasing one of these things?
I wasn't in the Kickstarter because I always treat things like this and the Ouya with a great degree of suspicion. Yeah. But maybe once it becomes mass market and a lot cheaper, I'll pick one up.
If you haven't read it.
Shit like that treadmill is going to be thousands of pounds sterling, obviously. So I'm not going to have that anytime soon.
That treadmill thing is never catching on because gamers do not want to exercise.
No, of course not.
You think?
Well, then, people said the Wii wouldn't catch on.
Hey, it would motivate me to exercise.
That's exercise? Swinging the Wii Remote? Come on.
Swinging the Wii Remote can be pretty strenuous, but
people
it was only
that,
in
dude,
like the initial games that made you pump it for everything.
Yeah, have you played Wii Sports for over an hour?
Mm. Yeah. Wii Sports is actually good exercise.
It is.
Wii Sports as well.
Gotta say, Wii Sports is pretty awesome.
WarioWare as well. Yeah. Don't get me started, man.
Oh, WarioWare.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, I don't think WarioWare was that exercising.
No, it's not strenuous. It's not, but
it's fucking
it's
tense,
terrifying
though.
Because
it's terrifying.
It's cardio.
Shawnee and I still have to play that when he visits, so there will be a cam stream of that at some point. But
lovely.
Yeah. What else was I? I was about to say something. There's a very. If you haven't read it already, there's a very good writer.
Reddit.
About,
I hate Reddit.
Not Reddit. I'm not talking about Reddit. Shut up. not talking about Reddit. If
we
you haven't
beat you
read
at Tribes
this article.
Send.
Already, there is a very good write-up of the pros and cons of the initial Oculus Rift models on Eurogamer by the Digital Foundry people. And they go into why the initial units are good and why they're not so good and what they're likely to fix on the retail units. Spoilers, it's all about resolution at the moment and that it's really, really, really low for each eye and thus not particularly good. They're probably going to increase it later on to a bit less shit per eye, but it's still going to take a while for it to catch up.
So, I've never really cared that much about resolution, I'll be honest.
I think you might do when it's right close up to your face, which is, I think, was their point, in that you can see the individual pixels when it's that close to you, and it kind of does make a difference at that point. They'd probably be looking at needing to get a higher pixel density, so you're looking at like a Retina Apple device screen.
Don't say that word, please.
Retina.
Say high DPI.
High DPI.
Retina is just a word Apple uses, so they can pretend they've invented it.
I know, exactly, and it's kind of shitty. But yeah, they're just looking for, you need to get a higher pixel density screen for it to matter, really. Or you just need to have more pixels to show, obviously. But it's because they're using like a tablet screen mounted in front of your eyes. And if you imagine that, that's pretty much what you're looking at with the Oculus Rift, apparently. So it'll probably end up being pretty good when they fix those initial issues. But again, as you say, they've been trying to do this for quite a long time now, just the VR thing in general, and it hasn't worked thus far. There's
hey
no
man,
reason.
Worked out like the Virtual Boy.
Yeah,
well,
that's great.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing in the article, was that there's initial sort of periods of you feel really, really sick when you use it. But increased usage of it, so you play for 10 minutes, you stop for an hour or so, you play for another 10 minutes, you kind of get accustomed to it, apparently. So that's good. But yeah, it will be interesting to see where it goes and how much it costs.
This thing is pretty much going to be the end of local multiplayer, right? Because nowhere you can play local multiplayer with this thing. Everyone's going to have one. It's single use only.
No more screen peeking. It's not going to make TVs obsolete.
Yeah. Dude,
this will be the new age of local multiplayer. No more screen peeking, dude.
Oh man.
That you can just say, "Hey bro, you want to come over?" Oh sure, yeah. Let me just bring my Oculus Rift and my giant fucking treadmill with me.
Yeah, then I don't have to fucking look at you.
I was going to say, Taco, did you not see what Sony did with their 3D tech? So if you've got like a Sony 3D television and a PS3, the way that the 3D works is it cycles one frame on and one frame off.
Yeah, I think I heard
so
about
that.
So if
you have the 3D glasses and you have two people playing, you can cycle it so that each person gets their own view of the screen, alternating each frame. So you can play the games essentially on the same screen, but you can't see the other person's screen. And I thought that was actually really clever.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good use of that.
A pretty good use of 3D technology. Yeah. So
it sounds like it's not good for my eyes.
Probably not. You're wearing the goggles, which are obviously doing active shutter things.
If it's polarized light, then it's don't worry about it.
Mm. But yeah, it's interesting the way that people can use these sort of bits of tech to do things that probably weren't intended in the first place. So
the first thing that went through my head was, why would you go all the way to the North Pole for light?
Excuse me.
I don't know why, but I was just suddenly thinking, like, what the fuck is this?
It's the best light. Anyone who doesn't appreciate it is a light pleb.
Exactly.
It's cool. And
scrubs.
Soothing.
Oh, I've got a headache. I need to take some pills. Have some more drink.
Happy man, I suggest that you end the podcast.
Okay. But first, the fanfiction.
Oh gosh. What have we got to look forward to today? What
kinda,
have I got to read?
This one is kind of unorthodox in that it is not an actual posted fanfiction, but a fanfiction that was written in the comments section of another fanfiction.
Oh my goodness.
Oh god, no.
It's really like, it's weird as hell. It's almost all dialogue too.
Oh no.
Not very long either, so that's good.
Who are our starring characters?
Sonic the Hedgehog, Tails, I think Cream the Rabbit.
Good heavens.
Oh dear.
This is already sounding
fantastic.
This
is going to be quality.
I hope my flatmates don't hear this.
Warn them first before you do so, is my advice. Or don't, alternatively, and give us the results afterwards.
Okay, maybe I'll do that.
Excuse me, Robert, we need to have a chat with you.
I
I like
I'm just imagining this man with imitation. The cat's head or at his head, just looking at them quizzically and going, yes, what is it?
I wish my flatmate sounded like that.
Yeah,
like your imitation of cats is, or what you imagine cats' flatmate to be.
Excuse me, Robert.
But now we need to have a conversation.
Excuse me, Robert, but it's six bong and you're talking shit about Sonic the Tails.
Hello, and welcome to Fan Fiction Hour. I'm Catsman, and today I'm going to be reading a very special Sonic the Hedgehog-themed fan fiction. So let's begin. So let's start. Sonic says, "Hi, Tails, have you seen Amy?" And Tails said, "Yeah, she won the dinner table. Are you going on a date?" And Sonic said, And Tails said, "Spit it out." Actually, no, Tails said, "Spit it out." And Sonic says, "Promise not to or else." And Tails said, "Or else what?" And Sonic said, "I'll kill you." And Tails said, "Okay, okay, okay." And Sonic said, "Bye." And Tails said, "Bye." And Amy said, "Hi, Sonic." And Sonic said, "Hi, Amy." And Sonic said, "Shall we?" And Amy said, "Oh, yes." And both kiss. And Shadow say, "What the?" Sonic stop kissing and look at Shadow. "What you're doing here?" said Sonic. And Shadow said, "I got little lost." And Sonic said, "Get out!" And Shadow said, "Okay, okay." And Sonic said, "I'll kill you." And Shadow said, "Bye." And both kiss again. Then take a walk. And Sonic said, "I love you, Amy." And Amy said, "Me to soink. Kiss more. Then sleep part one." The end. Tail. "Have you seen Cream?" Sonic, "Yeah, in her home." And Tail say, "Thooks." And Son and Soink say, "Bye." And Tail say, "Hi, honey." And Cream say, "Hi, Tail." And Tail say, "Should we?" And Cream say, "Yes." And both kiss. Soink came. Tail stop kiss. And Tail say, "Nothing." And then Tail say, What you doing here, Soink?" And Soink say, "Onk, ong, are you two dating?" And Cream say, "Eep." And Cream say, "What you're doing here?" And Soink say, "I was following you guys." And Tail say, "You little." And Soink say, "Bye." And Tail say, "Bye, Rumble." And Cream say, "Let's go to the park." And Tails say, "Okay." They both dance. then sleep together. The end.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, coming at you live straight from Salzburg, Austria. I'm Happy Man. This has been the gentlemen that are with us. I'm starting over. This has been...
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Another failed outro. We have one every episode. Every episode.
I'm bad at doing this. This has been Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, live from Salzburg, Austria. While you wait for the next episode, you can go to Gentlemen Discuss... No, not Gentlemen Discussing Video. Gather your party for honest gaming journalism. Shut up. Stop laughing.